Hello, class. I'm Mr. Sovenson. I'll be your sub for today. For rules, I don't want to see any horseplay, no phones, and no WWE wrestling moves off the top of the desk, all right?
Walking into class and then seeing a substitute teacher is like the same feeling as squaring up to fight a dude and then finding out that dude's blind, bro. Like, you pretty much just gotta show up. And you win. Like, I honestly feel bad for these substitutes, bro, because every day they have no clue what they're showing up to. Like, one day they're walking into a class full of angels, and the next day they're fighting for their life in a class of straight demons, bro. I mean, being a substitute teacher is all about confidence. Like, the moment the sub walks into the class, they're being analyzed. Like, the way they walk, how they dress, and especially how they talk. Yo, if the first thing they say sounds like,
hey, I guess.
It's raps, bro. If you start the class sounding like an intro to an 8-year-old's Minecraft Let's Play, paper's gonna be thrown, pencils are gonna be thrown, fucking dudes are gonna be thrown, like, it's gonna be straight anarchy, bro. But when the sub walks in the room with a little pep in his step, a little drip in his fit, and most importantly, he starts the class sounding like he's done this shit before.
Hey guys, I'm Mr. Pepinson, and today we mean business.
All of a sudden, people are listening. Everyone except for one man. The class clown. He's gonna see that confidence as a challenge, and bro's gonna start testing the waters to see if this sub is really about it.
And that is how Y equals MC squared. Any questions? Blue hat.
Mr. Pepinson, why are you built like that?
Oh, you mean built like the Rock? Yeah, these are called muscles. You learn about them when you hit puberty.
But bro, I'm in grade 11. I've already hit puberty.
Yeah, nah. That's not what your peach fuzz mustache is telling me, buddy.
Okay, well, your hairline is telling me it's going on a vacation, bruh.
Alright, let's see your shit then.
Yeah, it's not bad. Like, some substitutes are so good, you just wish they were your real teacher. Like, I remember one time in grade 10, I had this math class with one of those teachers who used to yap the whole time and then assign a bunch of homework with 5 minutes left in class. And then one day, a goat walked into our class. A goat who went by the name of Mr. G, or more formally, G-Dog. Now, G-Dog was packing a mean 68 years in his lifespan. However, he had the utmost pep in his step, paired with the drippiest of fits. And he was the type of dude who would lay down some respectable rules, and if anyone broke them, he wouldn't get mad. He would just simply flame the living shit out of you in front of everybody.
And that's how you calculate the surface area of... No text while I'm talking, please.
I'm just texting my mom.
Oh, wow, that's crazy. How's she doing?
Psh, wouldn't you like to know?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I would, actually, because she's probably pretty tired after last night. I mean, I did lay down some mean dick.
But there are definitely some questionable substitutes out there. I remember when I was in grade 6, my entire middle school was just weird, bro. My recess was called Nut Break. My music teacher was deaf, and our principal was damn near bipolar.
All right, who told the blind kid he could say the N-word?
Okay, alright, it was me, but like, I didn't think he would actually say it.
Oh no, that's actually a pretty good one. I mean, I gotta give it to you, kid.
Wait, so you're not mad?
No, I'm fucking furious, okay? Get in my office right now.
Okay, wait, I thought you were just laughing. What's going on right now?
Yeah, I'm just messing with you, kid, you're good to go.
Thank you.
Good to go out of the school, cause you're expelled! That is absolutely unacceptable!
are you joking, or...
Does it sound like I'm joking?
Yeah, kinda. Yeah, bro, my middle school was weird as hell, so I can't say I was surprised when a substitute teacher walks into my class talking about,
hello class, I'm Mrs. Hutchinson, and, I identify as a mermaid.
And I'm only 12 years old, so I'm like, dog, what the actual fuck does identify mean? But bless Miss Hutchinson's heart, man, cause Lord knows middle schoolers weren't gonna take that shit seriously.
Oh, she's funny, mermaid.
No, class, I'm serious.
Oh, so that's why you smell like the ocean.
Exactly. Wait, what?
And I remember one time this sub walked into our class, and I could have swore they just found this motherfucker on the side of the street, bro. He walked in sagging like crazy, and if he even went to school, this motherfucker most definitely cheated his way through, bro. Yo, hey class, So, what are we doing today?
I mean, shit. You're the teacher.
Oh yeah, right. So what'd you guys learn about yesterday?
We were learning about agriculture.
Oh yeah. And I think you're right too, because, you know, the culture we live in right now is very angry, and the agriculture just needs to like take a chill pill. You know what I'm saying? Any questions about that?
What's a chill pill?
Oh, yup, I'm glad you asked. Okay, see, I actually know a guy who can hook you up with some. Just meet me in the parking lot at lunch.
Mr. Saginson, are you trying to sell us drugs right now?
No. I mean, yeah, but it's for chemistry with neuroscience, or, I mean, like, for microbiology or something like that.
And these substitute teachers seem to butcher every single name on the attendance. I mean, shit's gotta be on purpose at this point, like...
Hello, class. I'm just gonna do some attendance really quick. Correct me if I get your name wrong, okay? Hordan Hansa. Is Hordan Hansa here?
Okay.
I mean, my name's Jordan Johnson.
Well, you're absent now, so you gotta speak up sooner next time.
Wait, what the fuck?
Maya? Is Maya present?
It's Mia.
Wow, quite the name you got there. It's spelled kinda weird, no?
No, it's not. It's literally three letters.
Ariana? Is Ariana here?
Sorry, it's Ariana.
Okay, and? Like, what's your point?
That's just how it's pronounced.
Juwan? Is there Juwan in the room?
It's Juan.
No, Juan!
And some subs be walking into your class with the most bullshit rules ever, like,
hey, Mr. Subinson, can I go to the washroom?
Does your teacher usually let you go to the washroom?
I mean, yeah, I think you legally have to.
I don't believe it. Sit your ass down and get to work.
Wait, Mr. Subinson, respectfully, I'm about to shit my pants here.
Wait, does your teacher usually let you do that?
What, shit my pants?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'll allow it.
Hey, what the fuck is this guy?
And I feel like there's no greater sense of community among a class than when a substitute teacher comes in. The entire class just comes together to gaslight the fuck out of this poor substitute.
I remember one time in grade 10, me and my homie had a sub come in who was giving us this multiple choice test. And my homie was the type of dude who'd be getting 0% on everything. And the way his grades were looking, he just couldn't afford to fail another test. So what he did, I just need to preface, I do not condone. But from the moment the teacher walked in, he acted like he needed a little extra help. You know what I'm saying? And to be honest, he put on a spectacular performance. I mean, someone either needs to get this man an Oscar or a diagnosis, bro. And I just acted normal, but I guess by proxy, I got a little extra help. And I don't know what that says about me, but I do know what it means. It means the substitute teacher walked out of that class happy she was able to help two students in need. And it also means me and my homie both walked out of that class with 100% on our tests.
So, as I mentioned in my fast food video, I worked at a place called Jim Jorton's. Not to be confused with the popular Canadian establishment, Tim Hortons. With that being said, at the time I had already worked at Jimmy's for a year. And to be fair, I couldn't care less if I got fired. So one day I got booked for a night shift from 6 p.m. to 12 a.m. But that wasn't gonna stop me and the boys from smoking up beforehand. So we're all chilling at Bob's crib, and we all take a hit. We all ate some snacks. Listen, you know the drill. But then Bob asked, are you guys trying to watch some TV? Nah, I'm really just trying to fuck up these Doritos.
Yeah, I could watch something.
So Bob throws on the first thing that comes up. And I'm thinking, these nerds are trying to watch Dora. But literally 5 minutes later.
Do you see Swiper the Fox?
Yeah, he's in the bush. Yeah, you see him.
Where?
In the bush.
I don't see him.
He's right there.
Where?
Right behind you.
Behind
yes!
Swiper,
no, swipe! Oh, hell no! All of a sudden, I was invested. This show had me in a trance. We were banging out episode after episode, and when I go to check my phone, it's already 5:59. So I'm like, oh shit. I got work in 1 minute. So I run to my car. I wouldn't drive. Not because I'm baked as shit. I was just broke, bruh. I didn't have a car. I was working at Jim Jorton's. So I haul my ass over to the bus stop. Then I wait there as fast as I can. I get on the bus. Then I get off the bus. Then eventually I make it to Jim Jorton's. Needless to say, I was late as hell. And of course my manager had something to say about it. But shit, I was higher than gas prices right now, man.
You can't be coming in late like this.
Yeah.
Jonathan had to stay an extra 30 minutes to cover you. It is very unprofessional to show up late.
Are you even listening?
Yeah, uh-huh.
What did I say then?
For sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, she definitely knew I was high as hell. But she couldn't fire me, because honestly, nobody else wanted to work there. So I throw on the gym drip, hop on the drive-through window, and I'm the type of dude whose brain just disintegrates when I'm high. So I was just chilling, you know, doing my thing. But all of a sudden, some guy comes through the drive-through and tries to kill my vibe. Sir, hello? Do you have my food? Yeah, what do you want? Well, I just ordered some food back there, and I... Bro, what do you think this is? McDonald's? Yeah, I'm gonna keep it a stack. Most of my brain cells were still at Bob's crib watching Dora. And I guess one of my coworkers noticed that. Yeah, you should just make the drinks. I'll be on drive-thru. Okay. Even though I didn't have to talk to people anymore, my brain still refused to start braining. Yo, Chains, chill. Wait, what? Looking back, I am really sorry for whoever ordered something that night, because I wasn't even reading the orders. I was out here freestyling with the coffee. A little bit of this. Oh, yep, a little bit of that. Whole lot of this. Is this the black coffee? What is this, the black coffee? Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Then I went on my break. Alright, Chains, what do you want? Well, what do you guys have? Bro, you work here. Can I get, everything? Oh, everything bagel? Nah. Just everything. Jim Jordan's never hit so hard in my life. I was an hour into my 30-minute break demolishing a meal for five. Honestly, that day, I was probably one of the worst employees ever. But shit, I was having the time of my life. Wicka wicka. Until some Debbie Downer tried to kill my positive vibes.
Hey, who made this coffee?
That'd be me.
I asked for a black coffee and got a cup full of sugar and cream.
Are you sure you didn't order that?
And boom, she went off. I can't believe this. This is a disgrace. This is outright disrespectful.
Let me talk to your manager right now.
And listen, I know not everyone's brain just disconnects when they get high. But for those of you who are anything like me, don't go to work high if you want to keep your job.
Wicka wicka.
Awkward conversations. We all know them, and we all hate them. Hey, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? You already asked me that.
Damn, you right. You right.
So, how's your day going?
My pet frog just died.
Damn, that's tough. I find myself taking the most inconvenient routes to avoid an awkward conversation. Like, I can't really explain the feeling of an awkward conversation, but it's just mildly uncomfortable. Like, I would compare the discomfort levels of an awkward conversation to wearing wet socks. Like, it's not the end of the world. But let's keep it real, no one wants to wear wet socks. And honestly, I would take a slightly inconvenient path if it meant I would not have to wear wet socks. Also, I feel like there's some other situations that are in the awkward conversation family that I also hate. For example, the handshake fist bump dilemma.
Yeah, it was nice seeing you.
Yeah.
Oh, fist bump. Oh.
Oh no! Sorry, nah. Sorry.
I don't.
Yeah. God damn it! After you experience one of these bad boys, you'll be thinking about it, cringing for the next hour. And if you're anything like me, you might even lose some sleep over it.
Man, why the fuck they're not going for the handshake, bruh? Obviously, it was a handshake.
And what about the good old you said goodbye to the person you're talking to, but you guys both walk the same way? Situation. I mean, this situation is the perfect way to ruin a smooth conversation.
Yeah, man, it was really nice to see you.
Yeah, for sure. See you later, bro.
Alright, peace out.
alright, bye.
Yeah, bye.
Shit, we're still walking the same way? I'll just turn this way so it's not awkward.
Man, what the fuck?
And even if I say goodbye to someone and we're still in the same general location, I will avoid them at all costs. Like once me and my brother were chilling at Walmart and we saw one of our neighbors. So we talked for a little bit, you know, said our farewells and went separate ways. But when it came time for me and my brother to check out, we saw the same neighbors checking out. And we were up in the Walmart looking like we were playing Assassin's Creed in real life.
It's clear.
And of course, I can't forget about awkward silence. Yeah, that's funny. Me personally, I have some procedures in place to avoid awkward silence no matter what. For example, my philosophy is to just say things.
Yeah, that's funny.
So do you play Minecraft?
What kind of question is that?
In the end, they may think I'm a dumbass, but at least there's no awkward silence, you know what I'm saying? Man, smoking too much. Greening out. ODing on the devil's lettuce. Whatever you'd like to call it, many of us have been there at least once in our lifetime. And man, I'll be the first to say it is not fun. But I do actually have a funny story about my first time greening out. I mean, it's funny now, but when it happened, I was shitting myself. So this story dates way back when I was just a young jit. I was still in 8th grade. And man, don't ask me why, but it takes place on a Thursday, on a school night. Alright, so it's a Thursday at 7 p.m. My friends and I are just headed to this girl's house. We'll call her Mary. So when me and my friends arrive at Mary's house, I quickly find out her dad is pretty chill.
Yo, what's up?
And you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So we'll just say Mary was no stranger smoking some gas now and then. With that being said, I kinda was. I had only smoked a few times. And the times that I had smoked, it wasn't anything crazy. So walking into the Mary household, I could kinda tell we were gonna smoke. So we all just went to her room and talked for about 5 minutes until all my friends started smoking. And it was out of some strangely shaped water bottle I had never seen before. And listen, bro, it was a Thursday on a school night, so I wasn't really planning on smoking, right? But when you're in middle school, peer pressure just hits differently, bro. So there my dumbass was on a Thursday night, using this weirdly shaped water bottle for the first time, knowing that I had a curfew of 9 o'clock. And I just instantly started coughing. I was definitely the least experienced out of all my friends, so I remember my homies were kinda helping me out. Especially my homie, Bob. Bob brought me some water and told me to let him know if it hits too hard. I told him, yeah, for sure, but I'm pretty sure I'm chilling. Because it had already been a few minutes at this point, and it was safe to say I didn't feel anything. And after 10 minutes, I remember thinking, I bet I'm definitely good by now. I probably just didn't have enough to actually get me high. So shit, maybe I can make it back for my 9 o'clock curfew after all. That shit hit me like Mike Tyson in his prime, bro. I don't know why no one told me this new device would have me slumped like Nate Robinson. But it's already too late at this point. My vision started to get choppy. It's like I was running 30 frames per second in real life. And of course, the dry eye starts to kick in. And I just get really hot out of nowhere. And I guess at this point, Bob could just see the panic in my face. So Bob was like, come with me. And he brought me to the bathroom. And bro was prepared. He threw down a pillow and a blanket and was just like, you're gonna be alright, bro. And as he leaves me in the dark in the bathroom, I can hear from the other room, he's definitely greening out.
He's greening?
Nah, not Chains.
Nah, my boy.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace? Bro, am I about to die right now?
But to be honest, my brain was way too fried to even care. The effects were getting worse by the minute. And as I laid there in the dark on Mary's bathroom floor, I felt my soul leave my body. I was just flying around space and, you know, traveling through the galaxy and shit. But I'm brought back to life because I felt my phone buzzing. And when I woke back up, I had no clue where I was. And then when I looked in the mirror, who the fuck is this guy? Well, I was out here putting the pieces together, trying to figure out who I am. Bob hits me with another, come with me. I got a ride so we can get you back home. But you have to act normal, okay? Okay, just get in the car. It was his older sister driving. And when I got in the car, I was stressing. Act cool, bro. Act cool.
Hi, how are you?
I'm not high.
Fuck.
She knows. And the rest of the ride was just pretty much silent. I got out of the car and I stumbled all the way over to the front door. At this point, I was praying my mom was asleep. So I called my brother to open the front door.
What's up?
Door. At this point, I'm malfunctioning. I'm trying to explain what is happening to my brother, and it pretty much just went like this.
Bro, is mom awake? Bro,
holy, you're gone, bruh. I'm sorry, but this is the only way.
Huh?
What the hell, bruh? I'm not gonna lie, the smack low-key woke me up a little bit. But still, I was way too big to be saved. But at least Mom isn't awake.
Chains, get up here right now.
I'm fucked. The jig is up, bro. I slowly walk up the stairs to my inevitable doom. Still high off my ass, I walk into my mom's room and seal my fate. Yeah, bro, I got grounded for a year and a half. And when I woke up to go to school the next day, I was still baked as hell.
Oh, yo. Shit.
Ooh.
Damn. That's why you don't mess with me. Yo, I'm Jordan Johnson.
Mr. Johnson, why did you beat Kyle's ass?
Mr. Principal, I never touched Kyle. In fact, I've never seen this kid my entire life.
How do you presume he received a concussion, 2 broken ribs, a black eye, a broken nose, and a dislocated shoulder?
I mean, he must have fallen down the stairs or something.
Okay, Mr. Johnson, how do you explain this?
That's why you don't mess with me. I'm Jordan Johnson.
But I mean, you got the wrong Jordan Johnson.
Then, what happened to your knuckles there?
Shit, these ain't even my knuckles. Listen, I am not one to condone violence. But I'm not gonna lie, school fights are a major part of the high school experience. I mean, there's something about a good old school brawl that just boosts students' morale. Like, there is nothing that gets you through the rest of the day like some kid getting his ass beat in front of the entire school. And truthfully, it's just a community building experience because it gives everyone something to talk about. Yo, did you see the fight? Yeah, bro, Kyle got his shit rocked. Wait, are you guys talking about the fight? Yeah, bro. Man, Kyle got fucked up, dude. Overall, in school fights, everyone wins. Like, the fighter gets some respect and the crowd gets some entertainment. It's a win-win. What about me? But tell me why when a fight breaks out, the entire school will be recording, but not one person can get a good video. It's like when a fight breaks out, every motherfucker recording starts having severe hand spasms. I mean, as the person recording the fight, you literally have one job. To record the fight. Damn, I just missed it. What happened? Oh, well, lucky for you, I recorded the entire thing from start to finish on my brand new Samsung. Check it out. Did anyone else record the fight? Oh, shit, yeah, I did on my brand new iPhone 14 that actually records in 4K. Okay, bet.
Ooh,
damn.
Let's go, JJ.
That's why you don't mess with me. But bro, this is just a video of your face for 8 minutes straight. And watching some of these fights are funny as hell. Because some motherfuckers will come in swinging like KSI. Some motherfuckers are out here thinking they're Daniel LaRusso. And some motherfuckers should just not be fighting. Which is honestly the best part. Because where else could you catch a 6'5", 250-pound big body scrapping some 5'2 nerd? Like, the UFC would never let that shit slide. Plus, you get to watch it all for free. But me personally, I've never gotten into a school fight. But don't get me wrong, if someone wanted to catch these hands, I could hit them with the little knuckle sandwich, if you know what I mean. But truth be told, I could never lose a fight. Not because I know how to fight, but because for Bob, shit was on sight! And trust me, you don't fuck with Bob. Bob's got a better record than Floyd Mayweather. And I even heard one time he got into a little altercation with Mike Tyson. All I'ma say is, he dealt with him. But with that being said, we all know that one kid in school who was born to simply beat people's ass. Like, this dude's life purpose was to run people's fade. And of course, I had someone like this at my school. He was the type of dude who had nothing to lose, so he would instigate a fight wherever he could. We'll just call him Jordan. And honestly, he was holding a solid record. I mean, he was probably 12-0. But one day, Jordan picked on the wrong kid. Hey nerd, take off those stupid glasses. And Bob was a man of little words, so Jordan's buffoonery did not faze him. Hey nerd, I said take off those stupid glasses. Hey, stop ignoring me. And without saying a word, Bob just ended Jordan's whole career. And ever since that day, nobody messed with Bob.
That's why you don't mess with me. I'm Jordan Johnson.
As a broke stick man like myself, I spent my fair share of time on the bus. And if you spend a long enough time on the bus, you will see some weird ass shit. I mean, I remember my first time getting on the bus by myself. I was feeling strong and independent. Next thing I know, a crackhead sits down beside me talking about,
"Yabba dabba doo. The world is ending and you're gonna die a painful and lonely death, buddy."
And just like that, I went from strong and independent to shitting my pants.
Yeah, bro. The bus is just something else. Like, 1 in 10 people who enter the bus are straight gremlins, bro.
I'm talking about the gremlins who know the perk is fake, but they still pop it. Now you just gotta sit next to this motherfucker for another 30 minutes while he tells you about the kids in his basement. But to be fair, these gremlins aren't even the worst part of the bus. The worst part of the bus is the energy. You walk in there and everyone just stops and looks at you like they're sizing you up or some shit. And you know who sizes you up the most? The fucking goddamn motherfucking bus driver, bro. These bus drivers are just eternally pissed off. Every time I would get off the bus, I would try and cheer bro up, but they're just like allergic to happiness or some shit. Hey, thank you. Have a great day, man.
Shut your ugly ass up, little boy. I already know you get no bitches with your big ass forehead, no drip having ass with your skinny ass arms. Boy, you're built like a stick man, bruh.
Damn. Hey, bro, there could really only be two reasons why these bus drivers are so mad all the time. Either they had a demon villain origin story where they were abandoned as a child and never shown any form of love until one day. In freshman year of high school, Timmy met Linda. Linda was kind, smart, beautiful, and she paid attention to Timmy when nobody else would. Timmy asked Linda to be his girlfriend, and she said yes. They dated all throughout high school, and they even got into the same university so they could be together forever. Until one day, when Timmy's world was flipped upside down. Timmy found out Tyrone had been laying some mean pipe on Linda this entire time. Everyone in Timmy's school made fun of him. Timmy could not let this slide. So he called out Tyrone to run the ones in front of the entire school. And without a single word, Tyrone winds up and hits Timmy with the meanest left hook any stick man had ever seen, leaving Timmy slept, out cold, unconscious, in front of his classmates, his teachers, and even in front of Linda. 'Cause shit, if that happened to me, I'd be just as mad as Timmy over here. Now, realistically, the only other reason these drivers are so constantly mad would be because the driver's seat secretly has a stick built in. You see, this would explain why the driver constantly has a stick up his ass. I mean, shit, you really can't even blame him for being mad. But still, I'm gonna blame him. 'Cause I know these motherfuckers get pleasure whenever they see me running at full speed trying to make it to the bus stop in time. 'Cause they start stepping on the gas.
Dumbass.
To be honest, there's nothing that leaves you more defeated than when you're sprinting to a bus stop. Then that shit just cruises on by and everyone on the bus is laughing at you. Damn. Honestly, at that point, I just give up and go home. But it hits a little bit different when that bus is your only way home. And it was the last bus, 'cause it's 2 a.m. And now you gotta bunk up with the gremlins on the side of the street, all because that goddamn bus driver had a stick up his ass.
Getting too high and ordering Chinese food 3 times because you keep forgetting you ordered it is one thing. But being too high in public is just one situation you don't want to be in. Like, when you're too high in public, it feels like there's always a spotlight on you. And that all these random people you walk by are staring you down. But whatever you do, you can't make eye contact with anyone. Or else that person will snatch your soul. If anyone else gets paranoid when they get high, then I know you can relate. I'll be out here fighting demons trying to walk to the gas station like, okay, relax. You're gonna be okay. The gas station is right there. Holy shit, it's the cops. They're after me. Man, something in that gas smokes away all your logic and reasoning. Like, it'll have me jumping from conclusion to conclusion like I'm playing Mario. Did that girl just look at me? Shit, she must think I'm sexy. Wait, no. She knows I'm high. Holy shit, she's probably an undercover FBI agent. She's getting back up as I speak. I gotta get the fuck out of here. And sometimes when you're smacked in a public setting, you're just forced to talk to people. Don't make eye contact.
Hey man, do you know where the Walmart is around here?
Wait, fuck. What did he say? He probably just asked how I was doing. Oh, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, but do you know where the Walmart is?
Oh, yep. Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for asking. Phew, good thing I played that one off. Or I mean, you could always just take the good old safe route.
Hey man, do you know where the Walmart?
When you get way too baked in public, you also feel super self-conscious about everything. Am I walking weird? How do I even normally walk? Why am I walking like I just shit my pants? Okay, this feels pretty normal. Wait, am I even breathing right? Fuck, now I just turned on manual breathing. Roaming the streets while baked, you'll come across lots of people. But there's just some unspoken connection between two high people. Like, no words have to be said. You see that his eyes are red, and he sees that your eyes are red. You dap each other up out of respect, and you keep it pushing. Now, when you're baked as hell in public, but you're with a group of people who are just as baked as you, it's a lot easier to relax. Because the simple thought that these people look just as stupid as I do. And honestly, at that point, you can just embrace it. Because you're no longer baked, alone, and afraid anymore. Now you can speak your truth. Hey man, do you know where the wall- Hey bro, I'ma stop you right there. I am fucking baked. And therefore, I cannot help you locate anything you may be looking for. And listen, being baked and Mickey D's go hand in hand. The problem is, you have to actually talk to the McDonald's guy to get your food. Like, when I'm baked, I just don't have the brain capacity to communicate what I'm thinking. Shit, I'm probably gonna get a Big Mac. Hi there, what can I get for you? Do you guys have burgers? No shit, we got burgers. Yeah, then let me get the burger, you know, like with the things, the, you know what I'm saying, like that, yeah. Damn, you are fucking stupid, bro. And we already know being zooted at school can either be a rather delightful experience, or it could be completely and utterly terrible. Once again, if you tend to get paranoid when you're high, being at school has to be one of the worst places to be. You'll be out here ducking and dodging the teachers, absolutely shitting the bed on all your tests, and it's just overall gonna be a stressful ass experience. But on the other hand, if you get much more relaxed when you're high, then you get a nice little mood boost. You walk around with your head up and that baked grin on your face. Shit, this was never me, but I know some motherfuckers magically get a better mark on their tests when they're faded. Overall, you're just kinda living life stress-free. I mean, these two experiences are pretty much complete opposites. So I'm not trying to say being baked in public is always gonna be a bad experience, but for me, I'd much rather accidentally place 3 orders of Chinese food from the comfort of my own home. Man, way back when, there was a time when you couldn't catch anyone under the age of 30 chiefing a vape. Until one day at Vaporizer Laboratories, they were cooking up and made a flavor that would change the game forever. Cotton candy. Now this revolutionary flavor forced these grown-ass 30-year-old men to take a good look in the mirror and ask themselves,
"Damn, what do I look like as a grown-ass man sucking on this goddamn cotton candy stick?"
So they do what any responsible adult would do. They give it to their children. I mean, shit, kids love cotton candy. All of a sudden, business is booming for Vaporizer Laboratories, so they start cooking up even harder. Boom, Sour Patch Kids juice. Boom, applesauce juice. And boom, baby food juice. These babies will be sucking that shit like a soother. Kids' first words will be looking like,
"Oh my god, honey, Jackson's gonna say his first words.
Yeah.
Oh, let's hear it.
Yo.
Yo, Pops. Well, let me bum a hit off that 50-nit guava ice, G.
Yo, just wait till they drop that breast milk flavor, bro. Shit, these newborn babies won't even know what hit them. They'll be returning customers for life, which will probably be like 12 years max. Now, the reason I say all this is to let you know that vaping not only intruded my high school years, but also my years in middle school. I was first introduced to these bad boys at the ripe age of 13. And with a little bit of that good old peer pressure, I folded, bro. Like, what was I supposed to do, bro? Like not take the hit? I probably should not have taken a hit. But from that point on, I started doing a little dabbling, you know. I mean, as a 13-year-old, there's only one answer to someone asking, yo, dude, you want to try a hit of this blueberry guacamole milkshake ice flavor, dude? And that answer is, abso-fucking-lutely, dude. And I was never a fiend or anything, but I will say, I popped a few ghosts and blown a few O's back in my day, but it had never gotten to the point of me owning a vape. Until one day. This story takes place way, way, way back in grade 7. Me and the boys were posted in science class dissecting cow balls or some shit when Mr. Principal burst through the door like,
"Is Tessa here?"
Yeah, she's right there.
And I look at Tessa and she just tosses her vape over to her homie, Kate. And I seen that shit clear as day, but Mr. Principal's old ass must have forgot to wear his contacts or something. Cause he runs a quick pat down on Tessa looking for said vape, but sure enough, he doesn't find it.
"Miss Rhodes told me you were vaping in her class. Is this true?"
"No, I would never."
Okay.
And then the bell rang and everybody knew what that meant. It was Nut Break. Now, I don't know who the fuck decided to name our recess Nut Break, but I will say, most of the students understood that that shit was short for Nutrition Break. However, some kids took it a little too literally. Weird ass school, man. But this specific nut break, you best believe, me and the boys weren't busting nuts or eating nutritional foods because Billy had something else on his mind. Yo, who's got you smiling like that?
Who, me?
Nah, it's nobody.
It's nobody.
Yo, wait, you got a crush on Tessa?
What? Tessa? Me?
Yeah. Yeah, I got a crush on, yeah.
Oh, sick. Go talk to her, bro.
Talk to her. No. Bro, it's simple. She's new to the school. She's probably looking for some friends. So just walk over and introduce yourself.
You're right. I'm just gonna do it.
Yes, sir.
Hey, did I just sell that shit?
Yep.
You did.
Then the bell rings and we all go to PE class. Now in my middle school, your class was your class. You just have the same students and the same underqualified teacher teaching everything. Like, Lord knows Mr. Donaldson shouldn't be teaching PE, but shit. Here we are. And so while we're playing dodgeball, I'm trying to coach Billy on how to confess his love for Tessa, but I'ma keep it a buck. I was speaking straight out of my ass, bro. I don't know the first thing about confessing love. Listen, bro, I'm the expert when it comes to confessing love. All you gotta do is walk up with confidence, introduce yourself, and then ask her to be your girlfriend, bro.
Okay, simple. Let's practice.
Hey, Vanessa. My name's Billy and, Do you want to be my girlfriend?
Damn!
And after the proper training, by the time lunch came around, Billy was prepared to do what had to be done.
Alright, listen, bro.
Whatever happens out there, me and Bob got your back. And remember, the worst she can say is no, bro.
Alright, I'm ready.
You got this.
Hey, Vanessa. I'm Billy. I seen you in science class today, and you were looking very pretty, and, Do you want to be my girlfriend?
Fuck no!
She laughed, bro. She laughed in Billy's face. And he walks back to us with tears in his eyes.
She laughed at me, bro.
Well, at least you know what they say.
What?
If you can make her laugh and giggle, you can make the cheeks clap and
not
jiggle.
Not right now, bro.
You're right. Too soon. Needless to say, that brother Billy went home that night, listened to Juice WRLD, and cried himself to sleep. Shit, the next day, Billy didn't even say a word, but I could hear Lucid Dreams on full blast in those earbuds. Man, it's a tough sight to see. Next thing I know, Mr. Principal bursts in the class talking about,
"Alright, Tessa, in my office right now.
Now, I don't know why she was in trouble, but whatever she was accused of, she's guilty, bro. And she's also guilty on 1/3-degree count of breaking my man's heart. And as I'm busy praying on Tessa's downfall, I get a little tap on my shoulder like, psst, take this. Mr. Principal's looking for it, and he's not gonna check you.
Whose is it?
It's Tessa's.
Don't worry, it's safe with me.
And it was safe with me, cause that shit was now mine. The only way she could get it back is if she repaired my boy Billy's heart, and that just wasn't happening.
And soon enough, Tessa comes back from Mr. Principal's office, and she didn't say a word.
We had nut break, nothing. We went to PE, nothing. And then we went to math class. And as I was chilling in math class, calculating the square root of pi and shit, I get a tap on my shoulder again.
Psst. Tessa wants her vape back.
Vape? What vape?
The one I handed you this morning? You know, it was purple. And...
Oh, that vape. Oh. Yeah, no, I threw that shit in the bushes.
So she reports back to the person who gave her the vape, and she reports back to the person who gave her the vape, etc., etc., until Tessa finds out. And she looks pissed. So she whispers to her friend, who whispers to her friend, etc., etc.
What bush did you throw it in?
Oh, the one out back.
And to put it in perspective, the bush out back was fucking massive. It was this huge conglomerate of straight prickle bushes, and so pretty much, her vape was gone, bro.
And I went to sleep that night with a smile on my face, knowing I not only saved Tessa's lungs, but also Billy's heart. The next day, I went to class, sat down with the boys as always, but something was different. Tessa and her homies were nowhere to be seen. I shrug it off and continue to make some groundbreaking studies in science class until I hear Billy like,
bro, no fucking way.
So I turn around to not only see Tessa and her friends waist high in prickle bushes looking for this vape, but I also see Mr. Principal forcing them to do it. Now this was truly a beautiful sight to see revenge play out this perfectly. Like Billy was sitting at the window the entire class watching him do a whole search party for this vape that was posted in my pocket. And just when I thought Billy couldn't get happier, the next day Tessa and her friends had to present a PowerPoint to the entire school on why vaping is bad.
Vaping is bad because when the vape enters your lungs, it's not good for your lungs.
Man, karma is real, because not only did Tessa understand how it felt to be laughed at, but the next day, my friend came up to me like, can I use that vape for the day? And I wasn't using that shit, so I said,
yeah, sure.
And at the end of the day, you'll never guess what she told me, bro.
Yo, you still got the vape?
No, I threw it in the bush out back.
Billy is one of my closest homies, and we've been friends ever since we were little kids, and for as long as I can remember, but Billy's been a dumbass, bro. I'm talking he's slightly restarted, you know what I mean? And everyone knows Billy for just two things. Always making the absolute worst decision possible, and always having the best stories, bro. Like, statistically, this motherfucker should have died 61 different times already, bro.
Nah, I got plot armor, bro.
Bro, no you don't.
I do.
Man, shut the fuck up.
What the fuck?
Now, this story takes place on February 14th, 2025, Valentine's Day. And I'm gonna be so honest, this story is one of the craziest stories I've ever heard in my life, bro. So, wait, can you swear to them that is real?
It is.
Say you swear.
I swear, bro.
On everything you love, the Valentine's story happened, bro.
On everything I love, the Valentine's story really happened.
It was a fine Valentine's Day night. Bob, Billy, and I were awesome single dudes, except Billy had a little situation, you know? He was talking to a girl named Elise, and they would hang out from time to time, but it was a new thing, so they weren't really dating, and they were definitely not Valentine. Now, I don't know much about Elise, but just 2 weeks prior, Billy was telling me about how he met some cute girl. They would text, they would hang out, but for whatever reason, their conversations would always be some like,
hey, how you doing?
Oh, I'm good. I am a little bit stressed because I'm moving and everything.
Oh yeah, moving sucks. How about you come over, I relieve all your stress type shit.
Billy, I really like you.
I like you too, Elise,
but I think you might be a whore.
Wait, what?
Like, you're most likely a bop.
Okay, wait, I mean,
you're
like,
definitely a fuckboy.
Okay, chill now. I never fucked a boy in my life.
So keeping that in mind, we were all single, and this Valentine's happened to land on a Friday, and because of this,
we going to the club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the plan was simple. We go to the drink store to get something to pregame, go back to my house, and then hit the club, fall in love, and live happily ever after. Now the problem was, Billy was stuck working a 9.5 hour shift until 10 p.m. Now he was the pizza delivery guy for a chain we'll call
Big Caesar.
So he's doing his thing, delivering those Valentine's pizzas. Well, me and Bob decide that we would go get the drinks now and meet Billy back at the crib once he's off work. So we hop in the car, we get to the drink store, and at this point it's 9:30 p.m. And so Bob calls Billy to ask what he wants. No answer. I call him. No answer. We both text him. Nothing. Now this was strange because Billy usually responds while he's working, but we shrug it off. We go inside the store and get Billy his go-to bottle.
Tennessee.
So we go back to my house and get to my room at about 10 p.m. and still no word from Billy. So we're waiting for a good 20 minutes and then I get a text message from Billy. The craziest shit ever just happened. So I'm like, what happened? Bro, it's so crazy, I need to tell you in person. So Billy whips it over to my house, kicks down the door, and instantly starts breaking down the craziest plot I've ever heard, bruh.
Yo, listen, this story takes place 1 hour ago.
It was 9:30 p.m. and Billy was finishing up a long 9.5 hour shift with his very last delivery of the night, but the problem was his phone was on 1% and he didn't even have a charger. So Billy locks in and memorizes all the directions to get there right before his phone dies. So from one side of the city, Billy goes 100% straight off the dome to the other side of the city for his last delivery on this fine Valentine's Day night. Billy hops out the car, walks up to the house, knocks, and they open the door.
Hey man, happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, but I didn't order a pizza.
Oh shit, are you sure?
Gerald, did we order a pizza?
Fuck no.
Yeah, no, we didn't order a pizza.
I don't know. It says a meat lover's pizza for 3516.
Oh, honey, no. This is 3416. 3516 is all the way around the back of the cul-de-sac.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Have a good night.
So Billy's walking for a good 8 minutes to get to the back of the cul-de-sac where at last he finds 3516. He walks up to the door, knocks, and a fine looking woman in her 40s opens the door holding a vape, and Billy sees a little potential here.
Hey, happy Valentine's Day, man.
Aw, thank you.
Of course, beautiful. How's your Valentine's Day going?
You know, it's okay.
Why is this okay? You ain't got no special plans?
Well, honestly, my husband's out drinking at the bar, so... Bro, this was the perfect situation for Billy, bro. There's so many things he could say to make a move right here, and out of the infinite combinations of words he could put together, he says...
Well... A man's got a drink, you know?
Yeah, okay, yeah, well, anyways, here you go. Keep the change. Have a good one. Billy fucking sold, bruh. He missed a wide open layup, and as he turns around to head back to his car in shame, Billy gets an idea. A genius idea, if I do say so myself. So Billy turns back around, walks back up to the door, and knocks again. Hey, what's up?
Hey, so, my car, like the pizza car, is on the other side of the cul-de-sac, so if there's any way I could cut through, it'd save me like 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, of course, come in. And this motherfucker just got his own rebound off the backboard, bro, but he only has 60 seconds on the shot clock to make a move, and so he starts breaking down that professional barrier.
So, what's your name?
My name's Angelina. What's your name?
My name's Billy.
Wow, you have a very beautiful name.
And you have a very beautiful smile.
Ah, thank you. Holy fucking shit, he was cooking, but they had made it to the basement, meaning he only has 30 seconds left before he's back to the cold, lonely outside world. So Billy cooks up yet another genius play.
Angelina, I really hate to ask, but is there any way I could charge my phone real quick? Like, I just need to get it to like 5%.
Of course, honey, sit down. It's no worries at all. This motherfucker, Billy. Did it again, bro. Now, I don't know if it's because she just wanted some human connection on his Valentine's night or she was genuinely just being nice, but this motherfucker's now in a position where he's posted up on this woman's couch in her basement at 10 p.m. on a Valentine's night.
Yo, what flavor is that?
Oh, it's mango ice. It's my favorite.
Damn. You think I could take a hit?
Only if I could hit chores.
Oh, shit. I bet.
So as these two fiends are bonding over a little nicotine addiction, Billy's like...
So you said your husband went up to the bar?
Yeah, yeah, he did. To be honest, it kind of hurts, because, like, it just sucks to be alone on Valentine's Day, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I feel you. I don't got a Valentine either. Type shit.
Now, at this very moment, Billy's about to shoot a shot farther than a three-pointer. Farther than a half-court, full-court football field. This was a blindfolded shot from Mars by a six-year-old kid with Down syndrome. bruh.
I mean, shit. We could be Valentine's tonight.
Oh, that's so sweet, but, my daughter's upstairs.
Ah, shit, yeah. I get it, but, like, this couch low-key spacious, though.
I mean, it's not that spacious. Billy, you're funny. Now, at this moment, Billy's 0 for 3 with these shots. I mean, the defense line was tough. She's got a whole husband and a daughter who's just posted upstairs, probably waiting for that fucking pizza. But to be fair, Billy was still on the court, but his phone was already at a good 3% charge, so he needs a game-winning shot right now, and so he reaches deep into his bag. I'm talking middle school years. He pulls out a shot I never thought I would see in a big 2025.
This flavor's fire. Yo, let me show you a new trick.
Yeah? What is it?
Alright, so it's called a transfer. Basically, me and you just transfer the smoke.
Okay, teach me.
You gotta come closer though, alright?
This motherfucker Billy swished a shot, bro, against all odds. Just 15 minutes ago, he was some bum delivering her Big Caesar's pizza. All of a sudden, now she's hot and ready, bruh. And so Billy's making out with some random dude's wife for a good 5 minutes. Then she's like... Is your phone charged?
Yeah, I appreciate it. You know, let me charge everything.
Of course, honey, it's my pleasure.
All right, I'ma text you.
Okay, drive safe. And Billy leaves this married mother's house after making out with her as the fucking pizza delivery guy. Bro, what the fuck? Billy, are you dead ass?
I swear to God.
Bro, that story is fucking insane.
I mean, shit. I'm not done, bro.
Cause if there's one thing that Big Caesar's taught Billy, it was how to deliver, bro. So he takes the receipt, boom, takes her number down and texts her. So he drives back to Big Caesar's, goes in, clocks out, hops in a car, drives home, goes inside, showers up, gets out the shower to check his phone. No response.
Damn.
So Billy tries calling her straight to voicemail. He changes the no caller ID and calls again, and it rings, meaning... She blocked his ass, bro, and I have no clue why she would do such a thing. I mean, like, yeah, she has a husband and, like a kid and probably another boyfriend on the side, but damn, say something. And that's the moment when he gets a Snapchat notification. Elise has added you as a friend. Now, Elise is the girl he's been talking to on Snapchat, so why would she even have him unadded in the first place? So Billy's like,
you unadded me?
And she just hits him back with a WID.
Shit, I just got off work. What you doing?
Oh, I'm just chilling at home. And then there's a brief pause. Do you know whose house you were just in?
Do I know whose house I was just in? I've been to her house before. She doesn't even live close to...
Wait. And Billy starts piecing everything together. How Elise was moving houses. All the boxes laid out in that woman's house. How Elise's family loved eating Big Caesars. And the woman's daughter... being upstairs the whole time.
Oh, fuck.
Billy hooked up with his girl's mom. Now, we have no clue what her mom told her, because it makes the most sense that she said something along the lines of,
hey, why did the pizza dude take so long?
Elise, I think he was flirting with me. Because let's be honest, what is the other option, bruh?
Hey, why did the pizza dude take so long?
Yeah, no, I mean, I just cheated on your father with the Big Caesar's pizza delivery guy who actually just happens to be your age. So Billy's texting Elise, trying to play it cool, like,
oh, I had no clue that was your house. What are the chances?
And she just says,
yeah. I get my good looks from my mom.
And then she blocked him again, bro. Cause after telling her 100 times that he's not a hoe, he's not a bop, he's not a fuckboy.
I accidentally hooked up with her mom, bro.
Billy. You know I gotta make a video about this, right?
Yeah, I know.
Now, I really don't have many fears, but there are 4 things that I would say I'm truly scared of, which are sleep paralysis, being flipped over while I'm in a porta potty, this thing, and public speaking. And honestly, I can't even really explain why I'm scared of public speaking. I mean, sleep paralysis, you'll have demons chilling in your room while you can't move. The whole porta potty thing, that's just some traumatic shit. And this thing... is fucking terrifying. But there's just something about talking in front of more than 5 people that has me shitting bricks. Like, my brain will start showing me the absolute worst case scenarios possible. hi guys, My name is Chain.
Get off
Boo.
The stage, loser.
No one likes you. hi guys, my name is... So I volunteer at daycares because I really like young kids. I love young kids. I mean, not love, they're only 4 years old. No, I'm not attracted to-
Sir, hands behind your back.
That's why I'm scared of public speaking. And even worse than normal public speaking was school speeches. And if you saw my going to school high video, you would know I have a pretty bad record when it comes to speeches.
Tyrannosaurus Rex has short arms. Yeah, Chains, don't worry about it. You can sit down. You can just go tomorrow. It's alright.
In fact, after I failed miserably while trying to present my speech well zooted, some motherfuckers was flaming me for it. So you know me, I had to get my get back. So when speeches came around next year, I put my heart and soul into that shit. And it wasn't just a speech, it was a spoken word, so it all had to rhyme. I mean, I was whipping up some heat, I was writing bar after bar like Kendrick. Shit, I had to have a fire extinguisher on standby while I was writing that shit. And I was never the dude to actually study. Like, I would start learning while I was taking the tests. If Y equals MX plus B, then who invented the Eiffel Tower? Uh-oh, shit, I guess Y equals MX plus B. I mean, even though I did bad on all my tests, maybe I can just get a job drawing stick men or some shit. Anyway, so I never studied, I never did homework. But when it came to this spoken word, I had something to prove. I mean, it felt like motherfuckers was preying on my downfall. So I actually spent my own free time at home practicing and perfecting this spoken word. So by the time I had to present, I was prepared as fuck. I mean, don't get me wrong, I was still shitting bricks. But when I got up there,
Chains, get up here, and don't stutter like last time, alright, buddy?
He's gonna stutter for sure.
Don't get on here rapping, I'm stacking, making it happen. Okay? I've been perfecting this speech while Yajits was lacking. Mm. You don't want beef with me, I put you on a tee, I call that shit fashion.
Okay.
I'll put you in a box like some cereal. You'll get crunched. I'm the captain.
Captain Crunch.
Now let me stir it up like some mac and cheese. I want 100% like curry from the three. I'm talking all A's, no B's. Bitch, I'm blessed like a sneeze blue. Honey's like the seas. I'm too icy, I might freeze because I'm him. I'm not talking slash he.
God damn.
Spitting right now. I went bonkers, bro. In fact, I went so bonkers, the teacher volunteered me to go present my speech to the entire school. Now, usually, I would be way too scared to public speak in front of that many people. But right now, I'm all hyped up on how bananas my speech went. Plus, I spent all that time perfecting it. I might as well share the heat with the rest of the school. Alright, next up is Chains with a spoken word on... Don't get on here rapping. Don't get on here stacking. I mean rapping. Stacking. I'm happing. You don't want beef with me because, quite frankly, I will put you on a t-shirt. I mean, you could call that fashion. Thank you guys for having me. I fucking fumbled. I folded under the pressure, bro. With the entire school watching my fear of public speaking absolutely crush me. And that is the reason why I have a fear of public speaking.
So, 50,000 word essay, 3 worksheets, pages 5, 6, 9, 273, 655 in your workbook, and you'll need to make a TED talk you'll present in front of the whole school. What do you want, Chains?
Well, how much time do we have?
Everything needs to be handed in at 12 p.m. on Thursday, or you'll get a zero.
Wait, Mr. Cumminson, that's in 2 minutes. Actually, it's 1 minute now. Any other questions?
Can I go to the bathroom?
Fuck no. Sit down, Jeremy.
Oh, okay.
Man, imagine being a high school teacher, bro. Like, as soon as you hit the ripe age of 5 years old, they throw your ass into school, and you just don't make it out until you're, like, fucking 65. And when I was younger, I always used to wonder, like, why is Mr. Cumminson so angry all the time? But as I got older, I realized I would be pretty fucking pissed if I was in the exact same spot I was 40 goddamn years ago. Which brings me to the first type of high school teacher, Mr. Angerson. This is the type of motherfucker whose wife divorced him 7 years ago and he takes his heartbreak out on the students.
What?
What was that?
Oh, nothing. I just had to sneeze.
Oh, so you think it's okay to just sneeze in my classroom now, huh?
Well, no. I just needed to sneeze.
What if I just broke into your house and started sneezing on shit, huh?
Well, no. That's just...
Matter of fact, get your ass up here.
Yo, this isn't the 1950s. You can't just...
Linda, come back, please.
Now, I don't know how Mr. Angerson continues to keep his job, but it feels like this dude's mission is to ruin the day of every student that walks into his class. Like, he'll be putting in extra effort into his test to make them as confusing as possible. The type of motherfucker to make a multiple choice test with the first four letters all as A. Bro will have me changing the correct answers into the ABCD strategy. Next up, we got Mrs. Talkinson. Some teachers really just don't give a fuck about teaching, bro. I mean, Miss Talkinson over here, she really just wants someone to talk to, for real.
And that's when Franklin D. Roosevelt became president. You know, actually, in high school, I had a friend named Franklin. He was a really nice guy. We used to go to the movies together and stuff, and, then he went to jail for multiple hate crimes.
Like, by the end of the class, you'll know her home life, her family, how she takes her anger out on her children. So me and my classmates would recognize the fact that if we could just keep Miss Talkinson talking, we wouldn't have to do shit all class.
So in 1938, Germany invaded Austria. Yes, Chains.
Miss Talkinson, have you ever been to Germany?
Oh my goodness, you would not believe what we did in Germany.
And for my personal favorite teacher, we got Miss Cakinson. You know, the teacher that is caked up for absolutely no reason. Like, she's got that dump truck for what? I mean, I'll be failing all my classes, rocking with a 1.5 GPA. But I walk into her class... Fuck, all of a sudden I turn into a...
Miss Cakinson, actually, you forgot the homework for today.
Oh my god.
Shut up. Oh, why, thank you, Chains. I almost forgot.
You're welcome, Miss Cakinson.
All my homework is done, all my tests are aced, and at any given chance...
Oh, shoot, my computer isn't working. Does anyone know...
What do you need, Miss Cakinson?
And I'm there. Miss Cakinson, if you're watching this, just give me a chance, please.
And next, you know we got Mr. Questionable. Insane. Now I know what you're thinking. Bro's name is a little bit of a mouthful, and that's because he may or may not have a mouthful of little boys. Okay, listen, I'm not here to point fingers at anyone. But if I was to point fingers at someone, it would be fucking him. Like, I'm really not trying to accuse anyone of anything, but there does come a point when some things this man does gets a little questionable.
Maya, let me help you.
So you put your hand like this, and you...
OMG, Chains, you will not believe who just followed me on Instagram.
Oh shit, was it at Chains for real?
No, it was Mr. Questionable Ensign.
Damn, brother, this test was hard as fuck.
Yeah, bro, literally everyone failed that shit.
Facts, bro, what did you get?
Yo, I got 22%.
What about you?
Oh, I got 103%.
Everyone experiences being drunk differently, and it can change from time to time as well. But I'd say most people fall into a few general categories, one of which is the aggressive drinker. These people have to have pent up and saved anger for years. They just decide to let it all loose when they take a sip of alcohol. I feel like they might even just be using drinking as an excuse to sock someone in the face. And the main problem with aggressive drinkers is there's always at least one of them at every function. Sometimes they can be tamed. But if you just let them do their thing, then the function just turns into the Battle of Vimy Ridge, bro. You don't want your friends to be aggressive drinkers. Because when they do something stupid, you just have no choice but to back them up, because that's your homie. coming up next, we have the depressed drinker. I know lots of people who are usually happy and energetic, but when they start drinking, all of a sudden they think I'm their therapist or something. Like, of course I want to help my boy if he's in his feels, but I'm hammered too, bro. I can't help you get your ex back. Now listen, I'm no scientist, but alcohol is a depressant, which means, it makes you depressed. Bro, I don't, pretty much what I'm trying to say is if alcohol makes you sad sometimes, don't worry, it's normal. Next up, we have the flirty drinker. Now, these types of people are a common appearance at parties. They just kind of go stumble over to someone and just start spitting game. One thing I do respect about flirty drinkers is that they're perseverant, bro. When they get rejected by someone, they just take it like a champ and keep pushing to the next one. Usually, flirty drinkers go rotate around the party and try for their first few contenders, but eventually, at the end of the night, flirty drinkers will end up attracting other flirty drinkers, then boom, everyone's happy. And come on, everyone knows the I love you guy. Man, I love you, man. Nah, like, I don't think you understand. Like, I really love you, man. And whatever you need, I got you, bro. And I just really love you, man.
Bro, who the fuck are you?
And of course, we got the designated driver. Next, we got the loud one. Hey, bro, sometimes the alcohol just makes people talk way too loud. In some settings, it'll slide. But in other settings, at parties, these are usually the type of people to be in the mosh pits because they're always super high energy, and sometimes they can be kind of annoying. Man, who would be this type of drunk, am I right? Alright, it's me. And if anyone else is this type of drinker, I know you can relate. When you wake up the next morning, not only you get hit with the hangover, but your voice is just completely gone. And I'm not even usually a loud person. But man, alcohol just works its magic and has me yelling like Kai Sinat. Hangovers being this type of drinker has to be one of the worst. I guess next to aggressive drinkers, you know what I'm saying? Anyways, we're moving on. You also might have encountered the philosopher. I couldn't tell you why, but for whatever reason, after taking 5 shots, some motherfuckers just become a philosopher, bro. They just have philosophical questions coming out of nowhere. And they low-key be spitting too. Hey man, love doesn't even exist, bro. It's all just an illusion. Love is just a chemical reaction that occurs in your brain that was programmed to make us inclined to reproduce. Next up, we have the OD, overdrunk. This is the 7th and final stage of being drunk. If you've seen the 7 stages of drunk video, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But some people are just prone to drinking way too much. And somehow, they always find themselves blackout drunk. But yeah, there's not much to say. They're pretty much just unconscious. And of course, we have the chill drinker. These people are just pretty neutral. They just be talking at a normal volume about normal stuff. And honestly, these people are just overall enjoyable to be around, especially when you're drunk. Let me know in the comments if I missed anything. And also let me know which type of drinker you are.
So, a few years ago, I worked at a fast food restaurant. We'll just call it Jim Jordan's, you know what I'm saying? Jim Jordan's was my first job ever. So coming in on my first day, I was kind of excited, you know, because it was just overall a new experience, so I was looking forward to it. So I walked through the doors, and, you know, it's looking like a nice establishment so far. But as soon as you step past the staff gate, you realize it's instantly a hellhole. Like, this is exactly what it was like.
Hi there, can I take the order?
Yo, who's
medium double
talking?
Double.
Hi, what's your order?
Yo, hello. It's my double. First day.
Hi there, can I take your order?
And bro, once they give you the Jim Jordan's drip, you instantly lose value as a human, bro. For example, if you're going for a casual stroll down the street, an average interaction would look something like this. Hey, how are you? Good, how are you? Good. You know, just average small talk things. But once you throw on that Jim Jordan's drip, hey, what can I get for medium black coffee?
Make my coffee faster, bitch. And while I was working here, it was just the beginning of the pandemic. Meaning, on top of the gym drip, you also had to wear a mask. So pretty much people could just see your eyes. And trying to communicate during the pandemic was horrible. Because not only did both parties have to wear a mask, there was this big plastic wall between us. And they had to stand 6 feet away. Hi, what can I get for you?
What?
I said, hi, what can-
Huh?
Ma'am, what can I get for you?
Oh, I'm good. Thanks for asking.
Oh my god, bro.
And man, I already made a video on NPCs, but working in any sort of drive-thru, you'll figure out that drive-thrus are NPCs' prime real estate. It's just like back-to-back-to-back NPCs. And when you don't have your average NPC, you'll have a below-average IQ NPC. Like, there was this one lady that would come through every day, and all my coworkers knew her as the coupon lady. Because every day she would try and use coupons, but somehow never understand how they work. Alright, your total is 1567.
Okay, I'm gonna use a coupon.
Alright.
What are you waiting for?
The coupon?
Oh, it's just at my house.
And don't get me started on my manager, Magnus, bro. Next time I see Magnus, it's on site.
Wait a minute, James, is that you?
The longer I worked there, Magnus just started getting a little bit too comfortable on booking my shifts. After about 10 months of working there, she just decided to give me 5 a.m. shifts every time. And that wasn't even in my availability. So, you know, I would send a polite and professional email, and she would just hit me with some shit like, okay. Then just continue to book me at 5 a.m, bro. So I ended up working there for about a year and a half. And like most people at minimum wage jobs, when you're there for long enough, you just start to care a lot less about getting fired. I mean, I was snatching donuts, whipping myself up some food whenever no one was looking, and hooking up all my homies with free everything. And eventually, I just got tired of waking up at 4:30 every shift, so I put in my 2 weeks. And during these last 2 weeks, I did not give a fudge cake, bro. I was out here setting up coffee cups and playing basketball with the gym bits. And if someone was kinda polite to me, I would just hook them up with a free donut. And I remember on my last day, I was working a night shift, and it was just about 15 minutes before I got off forever. And some dudes rolled up in the drive-thru baked as hell. Hey dude, can you check how much is on this gift card really quick? Yeah, you got 21 cents on it. What can we get for 21 cents? One sec. I just went to the back and cleared the shelves of every single donut in sight, and I just sauced them all for free. Yo, thank you so much, dude. You're the GOAT.
Can't believe this cost 20.
So yeah, that was my experience working fast food, and it's definitely not fun, but I feel like it's a valuable experience. Because now that I know I hate working there so much, I'm gonna work hard enough so you will never catch me working in fast food ever again, bro.
Skipping class in high school is a slippery slope. Like, one day you can skip and it'll slide no problem. Like,
oh hey buddy, welcome back, we missed you.
Yeah. You skip 2 days, you're chilling.
Hey, look who's back.
Yeah. But when you go to class after skipping 3 days, all of a sudden shit is serious.
Chains, what? Why haven't you been here, huh?
Well, you know, it was some family stuff.
Oh yeah, family stuff. What family stuff?
Well, I don't really want to talk about
what family stuff.
It was my grandma's funeral.
Damn. But that is no reason to miss a test.
And Lord forbid, if you miss a whole week, the school board turns into the FBI. Like, during the whole pandemic, one of my homies refused to go to any online classes. And one day, he was enjoying his extended vacation while smoking up outside his crib. Next thing he knows, he's making direct eye contact with his science teacher while smoking grass. And because they started going FBI mode when you skip your classes, the homies discovered a top secret method so we could skip classes with zero consequences. So, when you would skip a class, the teachers would instantly hop on their laptops and whip up an email along the lines of,
Mrs. For Real, are you aware that your son, Chains, has missed his science class today? If this is continued, Chains' grade will continue to drop, which might ultimately lead to him failing my class. Mr. Perkinson.
Now, Mr. Perkinson would write these emails with the hopes of my mom reading them and then beating my ass. When it really went like, my mom would read it and she would politely ask me how my science class was today. I would cap my ass off and then she would proceed to beat my ass. And one day after I got my shit whooped, I was talking to the homie Bob. Yo, we're going to Chipotle next class. You trying to come? Man, I don't know. I'm getting real tired of these ass whoopings, bro. Ass whoopings? You're getting ass whoopings? Yeah, bro. Mr. Perk never fails to type up an email that results in the leather belt. Oh, what? Nobody ever told you about the secret method? Secret method? You mean like wearing extra pants so the belt doesn't hit so hard? No, I'm talking about the secret method so Mr. Perkinson's can't email your mom. Why didn't you tell me sooner, bro? So essentially, the method starts at the very beginning of the school year. At my school, they would give you this form with your parents' email, phone number, all the contact information, you know what I'm saying? You would need this form filled out and signed by a parent or guardian and then handed into the office. However, this man, Bob, conceptualized one of the greatest plans of our generation. And it went like this. So you would receive the empty form from the school, take it home to your parent / guardian, get that shit filled out, and get that signature. Then secretly, when nobody is watching, you hop on your computer, you make a fake email, like bobsmom123@gmail.com. Then you would change your mom's contact information into that fake ass email, and then deliver it to the office like nothing happened. So when Mr. Perkinson's smartass tries to get me whooped with one of those emails, I get that shit in my inbox. I read it through and respond with some shit like, "Dear Mr. Perkinson's, thank you very much for bringing this to my attention. I was unaware of my son's absence in pursuing his educational prowess. I will discipline him with a punishment that may or may not involve me whooping the absolute shit out of his tushy. Thank you, Mr. Perkinson's." And I already know this dude, Mr. Perkinson's, was reading that email like, oh, yup, he is definitely getting his ass beat tonight. Meanwhile, I was typing that shit up in bed while munching on some nachos. So you best believe I was abusing this newly found secret strategy. I mean, I was missing every other class. And it was just all sunshine and rainbows. But you know what they say, it's not all sunshine and rainbows. I mean, I really don't recommend using this strategy. And I'm not saying that to be some mature role model. I say that because there was one flaw in the strategy Bob forgot to tell me. And that was, as soon as my mom saw my report card with all those absences, God damn, she made up for every single beating I missed. Imagine putting in hard work, time, and dedication into saving up for some new shoes. You go to Foot Locker and find the perfect pair. You try them on, you check them out, and you cop them. And even though you spent your last $200 on these shoes, you're happy because you feel fresh as fuck and these J's might actually get you some bitches. But as you're leaving the mall, a gang of motherfuckers wearing shiesties take those J's right off your feet, leaving you shoeless, broke, depressed, and with absolutely zero bitches. Now, personally, I wouldn't let that slide. However, when I was just a young, wholesome boy in 7th grade, I still wouldn't have let that slide. But I was weak as shit, so it would have slid anyway. I mean, in 7th grade, I could have got my ass beat by Hezbollah, bruh. I was a walking lick, which is exactly why I got a story for y'all today. So as I said, this story takes place in 7th grade, where I was young, innocent, and built like a string bean, bro. So one Friday night, me, Bob, and Billy were going to this girl's house for the three-man mission. The plan was simple. There was three of us and three of them. We would put on a scary movie, and if everything went to plan, we would get some cheeks. Now, just earlier that day, I had copped some fresh ass Jordans, so I've got a little confidence boost as we walk up to this girl's house. So we knock on the door, they open it, and we go inside. Now we stuck to the plan. We put on some cheesy horror movie, and one thing led to another, and by the end of the movie, Bob had all three girls, bro, and me and Billy were in the corner playing Bloons Tower Defense. Don't ask me how this shit happened, I don't want to talk about it. So after hours of me and Billy straight fumbling, we all decide to go home. And although I was a little disappointed in my performance tonight, I put on my brand new uncreased Jordans and I remembered, damn, even Curry airballs sometimes. Now the bus route back to Bob's crib took two buses. So we hop on the first bus, it takes us to the next stop, and as we're getting off, we see the second bus we need drive right by us. Fuck, is that our bus? Damn, yeah it is. Wait, check when the next one comes. Yeah, it shouldn't be long. Damn, bro, the next bus comes in an hour. So we have no choice but to wait at the bus stop for an hour. So we wait and wait, and at this point, it's already getting late. I checked the time, and it's already 11 p.m. As we were sitting there, bored as hell, waiting for this bus to come, one of the other buses stops in front of us to let someone off. The person gets off, and as the bus starts leaving, we hear this loud thud come from the bus. What the hell? What was that? Oh shit, it's a baton. And as we're analyzing this baton that seems to have fallen out of the sky, some motherfucker wearing a shiesty walks up to Billy like, "Gimme that shit," and straight snatched the baton out of Billy's hands. And Billy froze up. Bro was scared shitless, straight bamboozled. And the way the bus stop was set up was there was a main road, the bus stop, and behind the bus stop was a small hill with bushes on top. And when I say this shit looked like something out of a movie, I mean this dude wearing a shiesty walks back up to the top of the hill and a group of five other dudes walk out from behind the bush and they're shiestied up too, bro. They had to have been in at least grade 12, and to a 7th grader, that is scary as fuck. And I was no genius, but as that group of shiesties came out of the bushes looking like a GTA 5 cutscene, I came to the consensus that they were up to no good. Yo, those Jordans are looking my size. And this was the moment I realized I was about to get my shit robbed. So I started analyzing my surroundings and calculating my options. Maybe I can talk my way out of this. Hey sir, how was your day today? Shut up. I said, what size are the shoes? Damn, I can't fight them. It's a 3-on-5 and they got the high ground and they got a baton, bro. They would knock my ass out and take the shoes. But I'm fast. So if I take a right, then make a left, there's no way they can catch me. Wait, fuck, I can't run. I'd crease my Jordans. And just as I had ran out of options, Billy says the last words I would expect to come out of this man's mouth. Wait, Ethan? Yo, who the fuck? Oh shit, Billy. Oh, I didn't know it was you, bro.
Man, Ethan, you had me scared for a second.
Damn,
man.
My bad, pimp. My bad,
yeah,
my bad.
Yeah, no, you're good. You're good. How's your mom doing?
Oh, yeah, she's doing good. Yeah, it's great to see you,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, you too, bro. See you around.
All right, peace out.
Y'all, don't worry. I seen a kid over there with some new forces we could snatch.
Oh, yes, sir.
I bet.
Man, he's a good dude. Nah, bro. He just tried to rob me. Who the fuck was that?
Oh, that's my longtime homie, Ethan.
Why do you know him?
Oh, yeah. We went to the same preschool.
Same preschool? That dude looks 20, bruh.
Oh, yeah, no, he is. He just got held back a few times.
Held back in preschool? How the fuck do you get held back in preschool?
Oh, he used to beat up the other kids and then take their toys.
Oh shit. Makes sense.
So we bust back to Bob's crib, and as we're walking to Bob's front door, I stepped in mud. Bruh.
Aw, can I pet your dog?
Yeah, for sure.
Aw, what's your name, little guy?
His name's Ben.
Ben?
Aw, he's so cute. I just wanna punt that motherfucker.
Man, these intrusive thoughts I be having make me wonder whether I belong in maximum security prison or not. Like, I don't even mean to, but the thoughts that pop into my head are so menacing that I can't even say this shit on YouTube, or this video will get taken down. Then I'll be canceled. Then my whole channel will get deleted. Then I'll be thrown into a psych ward, and then I'll be put on the fucking death penalty. Like, these thoughts that pop into my head are so alarming that they make me want to beat my own ass, bro.
Hey, man, why'd you just sock yourself in the face?
Oh, well, what we see, I was about to push that unsuspecting toddler into the deep end for no apparent reason, so...
Yo, this guy's about to assault a minor.
Hey, you can't do that!
Cool,
but it's not like every single intrusive thought I have is bad enough to get me convicted. Like, whenever I'm walking across a bridge, I have to use every cell in my body to fight the urge of just tossing my phone into the water. Like, there is literally no benefit from doing that shit, but there's just something inside of me that would feel so much satisfaction with just seeing my phone dissipate into the water. You know, maybe you get that urge because it would just be satisfying to do some shit that's out of the box. Some shit that nobody else would do, just to break the simulation a little bit. Cause I could be having the best day of my life. I could wake up, get the meanest pump in, hop in the shower, eat the most fire breakfast, and draw the most pristine stickmen I've ever drawn. But as I'm casually walking beside a bunch of cars that are going 65 miles an hour, I'm still gonna have the urge to just throw myself in front of a car, bro. And it's not even on some emo shit. Like, I want to live, but I also want to dive into some oncoming traffic. But at least I'm not the only one who does this. Like, other people do this. Right? Like, it's normal, right? But half the time, an intrusive thought will just be to do some goofy shit. Like, you're just forced to imagine the consequences of what it would look like to start throwing it back on a Tuesday at 2:41 p.m. And every once in a while, you'll just be chilling, and you'll witness a motherfucker fall to the intrusive urges. Shit, he let the intrusive thoughts win, man. Now, I don't even know if these count as intrusive thoughts or not, but as a dude, when I'm walking down the street, I'll just be going on with my day chilling. Then all of a sudden I see a car and I'm like,
if I don't make it to that tree before this car, I'm gonna die.
Aw, shit. Honestly, these kinds of intrusive thoughts are kind of motivating. Like, it's the same thing as having a hype man at the gym, except instead of that positive reinforcement, if you don't get those 3 extra reps, you're gonna die. It's like whenever I'm at the gym hitting those Bulgarian split squats, I'd be having mental wars with myself. Oof, that was a good set, man. I think we're done.
5 more reps or you're a bitch.
Damn, good shit. Alright, I think we can wrap it up.
10 more, pussy. Who the fuck's gonna carry the boats?
I told you we should've stopped, bro.
15 more or you like dick.
Now that I think about it, there's a good amount of people in prison right now who just succumb to their intrusive thoughts. Cause intrusive thoughts are just like that demon on your shoulder telling you to do the most devious shit possible. And I know there's a bunch of motherfuckers out there who just listen to that little guy. Hey, man, you see that lovely old lady right there? Yeah, you're gonna hit her with a mean right hook.
Well, what's in it for me? Nothing.
Shit, alright. But to be honest, there is a handful of times where I've let the intrusive thoughts take over. One of the most memorable was way back when I was 5 years old. Me and my older brother were just dicking around, doing some 5-year-old shit. Keep in mind, this story takes place before your boy had even developed consciousness. So I was just a little munchkin, doing munchkin shit. Then suddenly, this urge came over me. It was unlike anything I'd ever felt before. It was dark, irresistible, and for no apparent reason, I bit my brother's arm. And this was probably the most satisfied I'd ever felt in my entire life, but it was followed by shame and regret because I had no excuse. Ow, why the fuck did your dumbass just bite me, bro?
I felt like it.
And one of my lowest IQ moments of all time took place when I was in grade 8. It was goddamn sewing class, bro. And I remember I was having a particularly miserable day, so I was just going through the motions. We were all gathered around this big table with our sewing machines, some fabric, and some scissors. I remember I was working on some shitty little big chungus stuffy. But on this particular day, the sewing machine cable was looking mad thick and juicy. And like I said, I was having a bad day, which is exactly why the intrusive thoughts decided to catch me at my worst.
Do it.
What? To do what?
Oh, you know what to do. You're the one with the scissors in your hand, buddy.
How did these even get in my hand?
Now cut it. Cut it, Chains.
No, why the fuck would I?
The wire exploded with smoke and my heart dropped so fast, bro. And everyone around the table just stares me down. And I'm thinking I can somehow cover this shit up like I didn't just take some fucking scissors and snip that shit like an umbilical cord. Maybe I could convince the teacher the cord snipped itself or some shit. But as I look down at the scissors in my hand, there's literally a chunk missing from the scissors. They look like they survived World War II. But barely. The scissors are all charred up and shit, and just like that, my plan of convincing her I didn't cut it went out the fucking window. You take one look at the cord, one look at the scissors, and one look at my dumbass face, and you could piece together exactly what happened. So my sewing teacher walks over looking pissed as hell, and she tells me to go sit in the corner. So I take my charred scissors and sit in the corner like I'm a 5-year-old, but to be fair, I made a 5-year-old decision, like I was in grade 8. I was 14, bruh. What kind of 14-year-old cuts the cord to a sewing machine cause he felt like it? Like if my 14-year-old son did some shit like that, I would tell the kid I'm going to get some milk and I'm calling it quits. I would have to have another kid and try it all over again, cause that kid is going nowhere in life, man. So as I'm sitting in the corner realizing I'm a disappointment, it was one of those moments where you fucked up so bad you don't even feel any emotions. I was just sitting there straight faced like, well, fuck me. It was really one of those moments where you just want to stop existing. So after the class ended, the teacher came over to me and she said, Chains, why the fuck did you cut the cord of the sewing machine?
No, Miss Sewingson, you gotta hear me out.
Okay, this better be good, Chains.
The cord was looking mad juicy and the scissors just teleported into my hands. I don't even know.
You did what?
Mom, it was the intrusive thoughts that they told me to do.
Oh,
it.
I'm about to intrude that ass.
The fuck?
So, as I mentioned in my fast food video, I worked at a place called Jim Jorton's. Not to be confused with the popular Canadian establishment, Tim Hortons. With that being said, at the time I had already worked at Jimmy's for a year. And to be fair, I couldn't care less if I got fired. So one day I got booked for a night shift from 6 p.m. to 12 a.m. But that wasn't gonna stop me and the boys from smoking up beforehand. So we're all chilling at Bob's crib, and we all take a hit. We all ate some snacks. Listen, you know the drill. But then Bob asked, are you guys trying to watch some TV? Nah, I'm really just trying to fuck up these Doritos.
Yeah, I could watch something.
So Bob throws on the first thing that comes up. And I'm thinking, these nerds are trying to watch Dora. But literally 5 minutes later,
do you see Swiper the frog?
Yeah, he's in the bush. Yeah, you see him?
Where?
In the bush.
I don't see him.
He's right there.
Where?
Right behind you.
Behind.
Yes!
Swiper,
no, swipe! Oh, hell no! All of a sudden, I was invested. This show had me in a trance. We were banging out episode after episode, and when I go to check my phone, it's already 5:59. So I'm like, oh shit. I got work in 1 minute. So I run to my car. I wouldn't drive. Not because I'm baked as shit. I was just broke, bruh. I didn't have a car. I was working at Jim Jorton's. So I haul my ass over to the bus stop. Then I wait there as fast as I can. I get on the bus. Then I get off the bus. Then eventually I make it to Jim Jorton's. Needless to say, I was late as hell. And of course my manager had something to say about it. But shit, I was higher than gas prices right now, man.
You can't be coming in late like this.
Yeah.
Jonathan had to stay an extra 30 minutes to cover you. It is very unprofessional to show up late.
Are you even listening?
Yeah, uh-huh.
What did I say then?
For sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah. She definitely knew I was high as hell. But she couldn't fire me. Because honestly,
Nobody else wanted to work there, so I throw on the gym drip, hop on the drive-thru window, and I'm the type of dude whose brain just disintegrates when I'm high. So I was just chilling, you know, doing my thing, but all of a sudden some guy comes through the drive-thru and tries to kill my vibe. Sir, hello? Do you have my food?
Yeah, what do you want?
Well, I just ordered some food back there, and I... Bro, what do you think this is? McDonald's? Yeah, I'ma keep it a stack. Most of my brain cells were still at Bob's crib watching Dora. And I guess one of my coworkers noticed that. Yeah, you should just make the drinks. I'll be on drive-thru.
Okay.
Even though I didn't have to talk to people anymore, my brain still refused to start braining. Yo, Chains, chill.
Wait, what?
Looking back, I am really sorry for whoever ordered something that night, because I wasn't even reading the orders. I was out here freestyling with the coffee.
A little bit of this. Oh, yep, a little bit of that.
Whole lot of this.
Is this the black coffee?
What is this, the black coffee?
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then I went on my break.
Alright, Chains, what do you want?
Well, what do you guys have?
Bro, you work here.
Can I get, everything?
Oh, everything bagel?
Nah. Just everything. Jim Jordan's never hit so hard in my life. I was an hour into my 30-minute break demolishing a meal for five. Honestly, that day, I was probably one of the worst employees ever. But shit, I was having the time of my life. Wicka wicka. Until some Debbie Downer tried to kill my positive vibes.
Hey, who made this coffee?
That'd be me.
I asked for a black coffee and got a cup full of sugar and cream.
Are you sure you didn't order that?
And boom, she went off.
I can't believe this. This is a disgrace. This is outright disrespectful. Let me talk to your manager right now.
And listen, I know not everyone's brain just disconnects when they get high, but for those of you who are anything like me, don't go to work high if you want to keep your job.
Wicka wicka.
Yo, I just got robbed by a gay homeless dude in Japan. Who's with me? You know, like anyone. Yo, anyone. Yo, is this not relatable?
Bro, ain't no fucking way.
What the fuck does that even happen?
Not again, bro. Now, I'm not gonna lie. Japan is one of the safest countries in the entire world. And apparently, there's only 3,065 homeless motherfuckers in the entire country. So, in order to get robbed by a homeless dude in Japan, you either need to be unlucky as fuck or just a complete dumbass. But way back when this story took place, I was a certified dickhead, bro. At the time, I had the critical thinking skills of a newly born chimpanzee mixed with the spatial awareness of a fucking Joe Biden on top of the decision making skills of Joe Biden's son. So with that being said, this story takes place way, 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 way back a few weeks ago when me, Bob, and Billy hopped on a flight to Tokyo. And as soon as we arrived in the city, we started absorbing all that food, bro. Sushi, ramen, fucking cow testicles, you name it, we ate it. And after an entire week of decimating every last crumb of food in Tokyo, we thought, well, that was fun. I guess it's time to go home. Yeah, I guess so. And as we're ready to pack it up, we overhear a few people talking.
Oh, hey, konnichiwa. We come from the United States of America. How do we go to Osaka?
Yeah, man, Osaka has some of the best food in Japan. Just take this train right here and you're there.
Wow, you're English. Very good.
I'm from Washington, dipshit.
Oh, I see. Washington, dipshit. Is that Chinese or...
Holy shit, did you hear that?
Yeah, no, that guy's fucking clueless.
No, I'm talking about Osaka. Apparently the food's even better over there.
Oh shit, yeah, but don't you think we had enough food already?
I mean, shit, we are in Japan.
Fuck it, bro, let's go.
So we hopped on the train and got off in Osaka. And like the certified fat asses me and the boys are, we were looking around for some food. And the moment we seen all you can eat Wagyu beef for just 30 bones, we all knew what had to happen. We walked in that bitch and wasted no time. We were running through that meat like Tiana Trump in her prime. Cause sometimes we were burning the meat, sometimes we were taking it raw, but at the end of the day, the meat filled us up and made us happy. So we thanked the owner, left the shop, and headed back to our hotel. And man, I was full as hell.
for like an hour. And then I was like, yo, who's trying to get some more food?
The fuck? Bro, we just ate a whole goddamn cow.
Yeah, we did.
Like, we probably just canceled out the life work of 5 vegans in one sitting.
Tight shit.
And it's already like 8 p.m., bro. It's dark as hell.
Well, I'm gonna go out anyways. You know why?
Why?
Cause we in Japan.
Man, get your fat ass out this goddamn hotel.
So I got my fat ass out the goddamn hotel and started walking around. And all I took with me was my phone, the key to the hotel, about $100 worth of yen, and a smile on my face, knowing I had never in my life been robbed by a gay homeless dude in Japan. But little did I know, all that was about to change on this wild ass Friday night. Now, if there's one thing I learned about Japan, it's that everyone there is very kind, extremely polite, and a raging alcoholic. I'm talking they clock out of work at 6 p.m. and they clock into the bar at 6:02, and they don't leave until... I mean, shit, they don't leave until it's time to go back to work, bruh. Cause the Japanese people work hard, but their liver works harder. But regardless, I'm casually walking through the city when I hear someone yell from across the street.
Yo.
So naturally, I'm like, yo. And they're like,
come here.
And I'm like, shit, okay. So I walk across the street and see 3 individuals posted outside this little bar shop thing like,
yo, I'm Yuto. This Emi, this is twin sister Shigo.
Hey, it's my first day working here. Come inside. Shit, I don't know. I'm just trying to get some food somewhere tonight in Osaka. I don't know if it's
You want Osaka fucking night food?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I want Osaka fucking night food.
Reads a sign.
Osaka fucking night food. Oh, okay, yeah, fair enough. Shit,
I know what? Come get shots. I pay.
Shit, we in Japan. So they take me inside and everyone there is just happy as fuck. They got Rihanna playing on the speakers, dudes bringing out shots, and the chef was turning up so hard, dude started twerking, and damn, that boy was cooking.
Bro, what?
Shit, I mean, like, he was cooking with the food, like, man, fuck! But the vibes were just so good and inviting that I felt like I just got welcomed into this Japanese family. And so we all cheers and take the shots. And now I'm drinking, and I'm drinking with only one goal in mind, and that's to keep up with my newly found Japanese family. And so to prepare my stomach, I get me some Osaka fucking night food, and it was scrumptious. But as I'm slurping up this kebab, I see Emmy come back with 3 more shots, and she's like,
you want one?
Shit. We in Japan. So we take the shots and I'm talking to Emmy, and one way or another we start talking about our alcohol tolerance.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, it takes a lot for me to get drunk.
Not as much as me.
Whoa, is that a bet?
Yeah, it is. Bitch.
So we're drinking everything in sight. Vodka, soju, sake, tequila. It's a competition. Now, I made the bet in the first place because I'm twice her size. But one thing I forgot to account for was the fact her entire lineage had been training generations for this very moment. So she's taking these shots to the face like... Well, shit, like Tiana Trump in her prime, and I'm going shot for shot with her. And after taking about 8 shots, I was feeling it, bruh.
Yo, let's go play darts.
I mean, I never really played darts in my life, but shit, we in Japan. So we pull up to a darts bar, just me, Emmy, and Yuto. And I had never played darts a day in my life, but you ever just try some shit and you're just inherently good at it? Yeah, right? Yeah, that shit was not me, bro. I was dog shit. I was out there looking like I was drunk as hell. I was drunk as hell. Cause in order to play, each person had to buy a soju. So now I'm about 12 shots deep, throwing darts, trying to hit a circle the size of a pea, while this little Japanese girl's pushing me and shit. Cause to her, this was a game. To me, this was survival. Cause every time you lose, you gotta take a shot. And if I keep taking shots like this, these shots about to start taking me, bruh. And sure as hell, I lost the first game. I took my shot and Emmy's like,
how drunk are you right now?
And I can't let her know I'm losing this bet, so I'm in that bitch like, drunk? Nah. Shit, where I'm from, we brush our teeth with a bottle of Jack.
Ah, okay, then loser takes 2 shots.
Yeah, let's do it. So one thing leads to another, and now I'm 16 shots deep, and Emmy's like,
I'm gonna go to the washroom, I'll be right back.
And then Yuto's like,
yo, Chains, we must talk.
Oh shit, yeah, what's up? Now Yuto had a strong accent and very limited English, so it really went some like,
Emmy, bomber.
Huh?
Emmy, have bomber.
Yo, Yuto, I don't speak Japanese, dog.
No, Emmy, use bomber. Swipe left, swipe right, bomber.
Oh shit, Emmy uses bumble. Okay.
Yes. And she texts the bumper guy, come here.
Oh, hell nah, bruh. I'ma have to abort mission.
Me too.
You too?
Hi, Emmy to you, daddy. Fuck, Amy.
Oh shit, facts, let's dip.
So we sneak away to the elevator and we're spamming the up button trying to leave and this shit is just not coming, bruh. So we both peek around the corner to see if she's coming and she notices us.
Oh shit, guys, we're leaving?
Yeah, we are leaving. Fuck. So we all get in the elevator and Yuto whispers in my ear like,
when the elevator open, we run.
And I'm drunk as shit, but I was the fastest kid in my elementary school. So as soon as the doors open, we hauled ass, bro. And I just kept running till Yuto was like,
stop, we go to bar.
And I'm just having a great time existing at this point. So I walk into this bar all drunk like,
where the hoes at? Oh shit. Where the bros at?
Yuto took me to a gay bar, bruh. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with a gay bar, but it was the fact that after drinking 16 shots, I just sprinted full speed away from a cute Japanese girl to run straight into a room filled with a bunch of sweaty gay dudes. And these motherfuckers were looking at me like I'm some fresh meat or some shit. And it really just had me questioning my entire life. I was in that bitch confused, frustrated, drunk as hell, ready to crash out. I was gonna leave that bar looking like... I would like a
fruit explosion!
No, Sebastian, what the wrong video? What the fuck?
Oh, hey, is that Diddy? So you're trying to see a fruit explosion, huh?
No! So I left the gay bar, called up Emmy, we link back up, and the first thing she says to me is,
fuck you!
Fuck me? What? Nah, fuck you!
Why'd you run from me?
Bruh, you were inviting Bumble dudes and shit.
What? No, what are you even talking about?
I mean, Yuto said, like, you know what? Don't even worry about it.
Okay. Well, let's go to the club.
And I'm like, shit, we in Japan. So we're at the club doing club shit. And after an hour or so, she's like,
let's take some shots.
And I'm like, shit, we in Japan. I am blackout drunk, bruh. I don't even know how many shots deep I am at this point, but all I know is I'm so drunk, I gained the ability to fucking teleport. So I'm in the club, and as soon as I blink, I'm in a bar. Then I'm in a club, back to a bar, to a new club, McDonald's, bar, karaoke, club, bar, love hotel.
Love hotel? Man, what the fuck?
You said you wanted to sleep.
Damn. Yeah. Yeah, nah, I probably said some shit like that. I don't fucking know.
So we walk into our room, and the very first thing I notice, the hub on the TV, vibration devices on the bed, protection everywhere. Shorty just lured me to the Japanese freak chamber, bruh.
I blink, and we teleport to the bed. But we were just talking, like,
yo. Yuto said you were inviting dudes from Bumble.
Oh my god, okay, Yuto's a liar. Listen, I gotta tell you something, but you can't tell anyone.
Yeah, nah, I won't tell a soul, you know? I will not post this on YouTube, clip it up, post it on TikTok, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Reels, or anything like that, you know? Like, yeah, that'd be weird.
okay, so Yuto's homeless.
Wait, what?
Yeah, like, he just goes to the gay bar and then goes back to a dude's house and sleeps there.
Damn. Oh, man, I didn't even know.
And then he steals their money.
Wait, he what?
Yeah, he just steals their money.
Wait, but it's just the gay dudes, right?
Yeah, it's mostly just the gay dudes.
I check my pockets, the money's gone.
Fuck.
You said it's only the gay dude.
Yeah, nah, he just steals from the gay dudes.
Fuck, I wanna go home, bruh.
So I leave the love hotel, and at this point, the sun is coming up, and I'm still drunk as hell, walking like a zombie. I pull out my phone to go use Google Maps,
and that shit dies, bro.
So now it's just me and my last few brain cells trying to make it to my hotel before I pass out. And I'm stepping over Japanese motherfuckers, blackout drunk, sleeping on the sidewalks, thinking I can't end up like them. But honestly, I have no clue where I am, no clue where the hotel is, and no clue what time it is. And after what felt like hours of aimlessly walking around, I blinked and I fell asleep, bruh. And when I woke up, I was in my bed. I genuinely don't know how, who, what, when, or why, but shit, I wasn't complaining. But by the time I got out of bed, it was 6 p.m. and I didn't remember shit. I had to go through my camera roll and piece everything together like The Hangover. But at least that Friday night, I learned a very valuable lesson. Don't try to outdrink the Japanese motherfuckers, bruh. You'll lose every time.
Man, smoking too much. Greening out. ODing on the devil's lettuce. Whatever you'd like to call it, many of us have been there at least once in our lifetime. And man, I'll be the first to say it is not fun.
But I do actually have a funny story about my first time greening out. I mean, it's funny now, but when it happened, I was shitting myself. So this story dates way back when I was just a young jit. I was still in 8th grade. Man, don't ask me why, but it takes place on a Thursday, on a school night. Alright, so it's a Thursday at 7 p.m. My friends and I are just headed to this girl's house. We'll call her Mary. So when me and my friends arrive at Mary's house, I quickly find out her dad is pretty chill.
Yo, what's up?
And you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So we'll just say Mary was no stranger smoking some gas now and then. With that being said, I kinda was. I had only smoked a few times. And the times that I had smoked, it wasn't anything crazy. So walking into the Mary household, I could kinda tell we were gonna smoke. So we all just went to her room and talked for about 5 minutes until all my friends started smoking. And it was out of some strangely shaped water bottle I had never seen before. And listen bro, it was a Thursday on a school night, so I wasn't really planning on smoking, right? But when you're in middle school, peer pressure just hits differently, bro. So there my dumbass was on a Thursday night using this weirdly shaped water bottle for the first time, knowing that I had a curfew of 9 o'clock. And I just instantly started coughing. I was definitely the least experienced out of all my friends, so I remember my homies were kinda helping me out. Especially my homie Bob. Bob brought me some water and told me to let him know if it hits too hard. I told him, yeah, for sure, but I'm pretty sure I'm chilling. Because it had already been a few minutes at this point, and it was safe to say I didn't feel anything. And after 10 minutes, I remember thinking, I bet, I'm definitely good by now. I probably just didn't have enough to actually get me high. So shit, maybe I can make it back for my 9 o'clock curfew after all. That shit hit me like Mike Tyson in his prime, bro. I don't know why no one told me this new device would have me slumped like Nate Robinson. But it's already too late at this point. My vision started to get choppy. It's like I was running 30 frames per second in real life. And of course, the dry eye starts to kick in. And I just get really hot out of nowhere. And I guess at this point, Bob could just see the panic in my face. So Bob was like, come with me. And he brought me to the bathroom. And bro was prepared. He threw down a pillow and a blanket and was just like, you're gonna be alright, bro. And as he leaves me in the dark in the bathroom, I can hear from the other room, he's definitely greening out.
He's greening?
Nah, not Chains.
Nah, my boy.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace? Bro, am I about to die right now?
But to be honest, my brain was way too fried to even care. The effects were getting worse by the minute. And as I laid there in the dark on Mary's bathroom floor, I felt my soul leave my body. I was just flying around space and, you know, traveling through the galaxy and shit. But I'm brought back to life because I felt my phone buzzing. And when I woke back up, I had no clue where I was. And then when I looked in the mirror, who the fuck is this guy? Well, I was out here putting the pieces together, trying to figure out who I am. Bob hits me with another, come with me. I got a ride so we can get you back home. But you have to act normal, okay? Okay, just get in the car. It was his older sister driving. And when I got in the car, I was stressing. Act cool, bro. Act cool.
Hi, how are you?
I'm not high.
Fuck.
She knows. And the rest of the ride was just pretty much silent. I got out of the car and I stumbled all the way over to the front door. At this point, I was praying my mom was asleep. So I called my brother to open the front door.
What's up?
Door. At this point, I'm malfunctioning. I'm trying to explain what is happening to my brother, and it pretty much just went like this.
Bro, is mom awake? Bro.
Holy, you're gone, bruh. I'm sorry, but this is the only way.
Huh?
What the hell, bruh? I'm not gonna lie, the smack low-key woke me up a little bit. But still, I was way too big to be saved. But at least mom isn't awake.
Chains, get up here right now.
I'm fucked. The jig is up, bro. I slowly walk up the stairs to my inevitable doom. Still high off my ass, I walk into my mom's room and seal my fate. Yeah, bro, I got grounded for a year and a half. And when I woke up to go to school the next day, I was still baked as hell.
Alright, I already touched on the unspeakable things that go down in the high school bathrooms, bro. But there's only one place on earth that is more foul than those bathrooms. And it's the goddamn locker rooms. That room smells like complete and utter dog shit mixed with axe spray. Like, maybe I just went to school with a whole lot of Discord mods, but the rancid smell of the boys' locker room would contaminate anything in a 50-foot radius. And shit, Lord knows what goes down in that questionable place. Like, you'll walk in there and see anything, bro. Motherfuckers will be having fights, chicken fights, group fights, sword fights. Like, any laws and rules simply don't apply to the boys' locker room. Motherfuckers will be throwing hands, selling drugs, committing arson, committing several counts of fucking tax evasion. Shit, you name it. It's pretty much a GTA lobby in that bitch. Like, I remember one day I walked into PE and my teacher was like,
"Hey, nah, where's your PE strip?"
And I was like, shit, it's in the locker room. So I walk into the locker room and there's just two motherfuckers throwing hands and they just stop and look at me like, oh shit, I'ma just get my backpack and shit. So yeah, alright, y'all be safe. And then they just went back to beating the shit out of each other. Now listen, I don't spend too much time in the girls' locker room, but anytime I walk by there, that shit smells like rose petals and rainbows. So I can only imagine there's no group fights, no chicken fights, but hopefully no fucking sword fights. And bro, you deadass can't leave shit in the locker room. Like, if you leave anything not locked up, it's gone. These kids are ruthless, bro. They're snatching your wallet, your phone, your clothes. Shit, they're taking your PB&J sandwich. And the thing is, if you want your PB&J back, you're gonna have to get it back in blood, because there's no laws in the locker room. See, if someone snatched my sandwich in math class, I'm turning into 6'9", bro. Mr. Cumminson, Jordan Johnson here, who lives on 123 Stickman Drive, postal code STK53Z, just stole my peanut butter and jelly sandwich my mom made me, so I'ma need his ass suspended. But if you try to tell a teacher about anything that happened in the locker rooms, they don't give a fuck. Mr. Principal, Jordan Johnson just stabbed me and stole my backpack, my phone, my wallet, and my ID.
Damn, I'm sorry to hear that. Where did this happen?
It was in the locker room after PE.
Oh, you said the locker room? You're just gonna have to get it back in blood.
Back in blood? What are you talking about?
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. The way you're snitching right now, you kinda look like a bitch.
But yo, one time me, Billy, and Bob were coming back to the locker room after some good old dodgeball, and Billy notices a dude rummaging through his backpack. So he's like, yo, what are you doing, bro? But when he turned around, Billy was bamboozled to find out the kid rummaging through his bag, he was special. And there was just this moment of silence. Yo, am I supposed to like beat his ass right now? Or bruh, I'm sure he didn't take anything. Just politely ask for your bag back. Alright, yeah. Oh, hey man, can I get my bag back, please? And the kid just hugged Billy, and then he left. And I'm still confused to this day, but I'ma be honest. Locker rooms weren't all that bad, cause sometimes you'd walk in that hole and they would just be throwing a party. Now, it still smells like ass, and there was literally no females, but it was still kinda lit. Like, you'd walk in there and it would transform into the club.
Shout out my label, that's me. I'm in this bitch with TP. I'm in this bitch with all track.
Or you'll walk in there and they'll just be giving out free pizza. Like walking into the locker room is a gamble. You might walk in there and get robbed or you'll get some fucking pizza. I don't know. But what I do know is there's only 10 types of dudes in the locker room. Starting with that one kid who must have thought it was the 1800s the way he was whipping motherfuckers. Next, we got the poor guy who's just trying to change. He's quiet. He's normal, and he changes. It's a locker room, so it makes sense. Then we got that one poor soul who gets absolutely cooked by the entire locker room. Yo,
Why is Kevin built like Mike Wazowski? Bro's got no neck. We're stick men. None of us have neck.
Shut up. You skip neck.
Yeah, he skips neck.
Next, we got Bob. Bob's just that guy that casually takes his shirt off, and he's built like Giga Chad. Like, shit. Fucking sexy ass Bob. And I don't know why, but there was always that one guy who thought it was a good idea to just whip his nuts out. Unprovoked, uncalled for, completely out of pocket. Like, what do you look like with your nuts out in a room with 30 half-naked sweaty dudes? Like, personally, in that situation, I'm keeping my balls in my boxers. Thank you very much. And bro, tell me why there was always one kid who was just dousing himself in Axe spray. And it's always the mustiest motherfucker doing it too. Like, who's gonna tell him that Axe spray doesn't replace taking showers, bruh? And I don't know about your locker room, but for mine, there was always a dude eating. Like, out of all the places on earth, why are you eating in the locker room? Like, for some reason, there's something about eating around a bunch of dudes in their boxers that just doesn't sit right with me. I mean, simply by bringing that sandwich into the locker room makes it contaminated. That sandwich will be tasting like wet dog and Axe spray. And next, we got the kid who just makes as much noise as humanly possible.
Shut the fuck up.
And then there's that one dude who decides he's having a shower. And all power to that guy, but personally, there is no fucking way I'm showering in school. Like, I can't trust this little door to stop these menaces from breaking into my shower. Cause remember, there's no laws in the locker room. Like, it's no jail, but I'm sure if you drop the soap in there, you're gonna get violated. And of course, you got the fiend. There's always a dude fiending for a vape in every locker room. And it's low-key worse in the locker room than the bathrooms. Like, these locker room fiends would do a little bit too much for some nicotine. I've seen them pay $5 for a single hit, and fuck, I don't want to know what they'll do for a hit when they run out of money. And still, I'm not gonna lie, the high school bathrooms get wild. They'll be hotboxed, there'll be fight clubs, but the thing about the bathrooms is a teacher can walk in at any time and get every student suspended. Like, even the poor kid taking a piss will probably get suspended just by association. Which is exactly why the high school locker rooms get so fucking rowdy. Because there's truly no teacher strong enough to stop the buffoonery that goes on in these locker rooms. So they don't even try. Shit, I don't care if your teacher is John Cena. There is no single man who can put a stop to the fuck shit that goes down in the locker rooms. But there is one thing that can. A female.
Chug, chug, chug.
Bro, is your way, just bro. One more.
No way.
Yeah, let's go.
Are you good?
Ooh. Damn.
Blacking out drunk. It's not a fun experience. In fact, it's on the list of the top 3 worst things to experience, ranked just below giving birth. Now, if blacking out drunk is so bad, you may ask yourself, why do so many people do it? And truthfully, there are only a few reasons why one would inflict such a brutal pain on their liver. The first reason is impatience. Some motherfuckers just can't wait the 15 minutes it takes for alcohol to kick in, so they slam back one too many shots. And when that shit hits, that shit hits. Or secondly, peer pressure. I mean, to be fair, you will look cool as fuck for those 3 minutes where you're down in a bunch of vodka. Until you're lonely, gurping into the toilet, reconsidering your life decisions. Or, because it's yet another Valentine's Day, you will spend locked away in your room, drawing little stick men on your computer because you get absolutely zero bitches. Wow, so relatable, am I right? But if you've never been blackout drunk before, let me explain what it's like so you never have to experience it. Phase 1, I like to call smooth sailing. This is where you got a few drinks in you, but you're still chilling, or as many like to say, you're tipsy. But say, as you're observing your surroundings, you make an astounding discovery and find out the function has Hennessy. That shit will take you straight to phase 2.
Sauced. At this point, you're just drunk, bro. You're doing some fuck shit, you're saying some fuck shit, and Lord knows you're probably thinking some fuck shit. Some symptoms that you're in phase 2 will include sunglasses appearing on your face, the sudden urge to steal traffic cones, hitting the nene, staring in the bathroom mirror for 10 minutes and saying, "Damn, I'm drunk as fuck." Now, it's at this phase whether you decide you're gonna have a cool, fun night, or if you're gonna end up looking like Nate Robinson. Like, when you're offered more alcohol, don't drink that shit. I repeat, do not drink that shit. "Hey, do you want some of my drink?" "Fuck no." Do you want a sip of my- Aw, shit, you done fucked up. That's the type of shit that will have you in phase 3, which I like to call, "Shit, I don't feel so good." As you can tell by the name, this is where shit starts to go downhill. You go from having a jolly old time to quivering on the floor with your liver fighting for its life. And this is the moment when your memory starts cutting out. You can remember some things here and there, but half of the night simply vanishes. And to be honest, that's gotta be for the better, bro, because I don't know if you wanna remember the pain of being in the downwards dog position while vomiting your guts out. It's not a fond memory. But to get to phase 4, god damn, the function would have to have a lot of fucking Hennessy. In order to get this drunk, you gotta be going through some shit. You gotta be in Spain without the S. You gotta be in Champagne without the sham. You gotta be going through some cock and ball torture without the cock and ball part. Or you gotta make a pretty big miscalculation, bro. Either way, you ingested enough alcohol to kill several farm animals, and this is roughly what you're gonna remember. Nothing, bro. You're not gonna remember jack shit. Pretty much 30 seconds after laying eyes on that juicy bottle of Hennessy, you teleported into your bed with a crazy headache and no recollection of what the fuck just happened. Which takes you straight into stage 5. Grief. You go on your phone to ask the homies what happened last night, and the very first thing you see in the group chat leaves you frightened, appalled, in disbelief. Now, I don't know what gremlin takes over your body when you're blackout drunk, but there is no reason I should be throwing my shit back like Ice Spice. Well, on video. Like, it's cool behind closed doors and all, but in public? The fuck? And I understand that consuming enough alcohol to make you forget the night completely has horrible effects on your body and kills an unholy amount of brain cells, but like, that's really not even the worst part, bro. Like, my brain can take one for the team, but my dignity? If I see one more video of me dropping that shit to the floor, I'm done, bro. That's it. You wake up the next morning not remembering a single thing, but as you see more videos, read more text messages, collect more data and evidence from that night, you begin to piece together the puzzle of a night that should not be remembered, leaving you in grief. But that's not all. No. Phase 6 is pain. Cause you don't even wanna feel the extent of a blackout hangover. That shit will have you feeling like you got hit by a bus. And shit, you might have actually got hit by a bus. You wouldn't know. Shit will have you feeling like one of those musty old chihuahuas. Now, I don't know exactly what it feels like to be one of these things, but all I know is you don't want to be one of those musty old chihuahuas. I mean, it's not fun waking up all shaky with a throbbing headache and the urge to just stop existing. And every single time you blackout drunk, you tell yourself, "I'm never getting this drunk ever again." Until the moment you realize the function has Hennessy.
Once the clock strikes 3 a.m, I feel like you've given up on trying to sleep. At this point, you're going to commit to whatever you decide to do until the sun comes up. Whether you're studying for tomorrow's math test, chilling on Discord with the boys, choking the chicken, or simply sulking in those 3 a.m. thoughts, you'll pretty much find yourself doing anything but sleeping. And I don't know if it's just me, but those 3 a.m. thoughts hit different. And honestly, it's just the perfect time to go for a walk, find a nice little view, maybe light up a joint, and just think. The youngest picture of you is the oldest picture of you. Does Lightning McQueen cop car insurance or life insurance? Wait, did the brain name itself?
Hold up. What if soy milk is just regular milk introducing itself in Spanish? I have no clue if this is just me, but every once in a while when I'm laying in my bed at 3 a.m., I suddenly get the motivation to become the best person on the planet. Like, I set an alarm for 5 a.m., I tell myself I'm gonna go work out, then go for a run, then meditate, then drink kale smoothies, then become a millionaire, then donate it all to a family in need. But as soon as my alarm goes off, I'm just like, shit, I'm too tired for all that. Then I just end up sleeping until 1 p.m., and my brain is constantly playing games with me, bro. Like, tell me why I'll be using all my strength to stay awake during the day thinking, ugh, man, I can't wait to go to sleep tonight. But when it comes time to sleep, I just can't. I'll be left lying there at 5 a.m. awake as hell, watching these random motherfuckers build a two-story house with a hot tub in the jungle. And you know what? Being awake at 3 a.m. is kind of like being high a little bit. Because you start to think about things you don't usually think about. And because you get hit with the fucking munchies, bro. I'll be whipping up a 3-course meal with appetizers and a complimentary dessert to watch a YouTube video. And listen, I can't explain why, but there is no better water than water at 3 a.m. I mean, it's pretty much a part of my sleep schedule now to wake up at 3, chug some water, take a piss, then go back to bed. But sometimes while I'm trying to go back to sleep, my brain just starts showing me a compilation of my top 15 cringiest moments. I mean, I'm having flashbacks to the time in grade 5 when I said a joke and nobody laughed. Guys, why did the monkey fall out of the tree?
Why?
Why?
Because it was dead.
Oh.
Damn.
Or I'll be up all night thinking about that one debate I had 3 years ago. Brainstorming about the best things I could have said in each scenario. It's like if I do some cringe shit during the day, I have no choice but to lose some sleep over it at night. It's like my punishment for saying some stupid shit. Like I know one guy who accidentally called his teacher mommy in front of the entire class. And that dude hasn't slept since.
Getting zooted is a remarkable experience. However, the moment you step into a public setting, everything changes. I mean, being baked in public is the equivalent of trying to run track with clown shoes on. It's the equivalent of being an astronaut in the ocean. It's like bringing a sword to a gunfight. And trust me, I've been caught lacking, baked beyond belief on several occasions. That is, until I learned the art of pretending you're not zooted. So, the first order of business is covering up that dank smell. Cause shit, you and I both know if you get caught reeking of that sweet, sweet smell of Mary Jane, your cover's blown. So take some Axe, some cologne, some goddamn Febreze, and just douse yourself. And just when you think you put too much, spray some more, bro. And although all this Axe is gonna have you smelling like a frat boy, so, it is crucial that we avoid the following scenario at all costs.
You get some of this.
Nice.
Yo, do you think you can still smell it?
Nah, dude. I can't smell it at all. What about me? Shit, it's like we didn't even smoke. But truth be told, both of these motherfuckers smell like weed, bro. The next order of business is those goddamn bloodshot eyes. I'm not gonna lie. Those eyes of yours are a dead giveaway, bro. I mean, you look fucking obliterated. Like, go look in the mirror. Yeah, we're gonna need some eye drops real quick. Just a few drops here, you know what I'm saying? Few drops here. Yep. Yeah, that's a lot better. But you know what? For a little safety measure, throw these hoes on. Damn. Now you're looking sober and fresh as fuck, but how are you feeling? Your mouth's a little dry, huh? Well, I got just the thing for you. You see this? Yeah, shit's called water. It's gonna help you with that cotton mouth, and it'll keep you hydrated. Yeah, that's some good old H2O. Nice. Yeah, no, go take a look in the mirror. Yeah, you're looking good. But before you go outside, we gotta go over some of the basic principles of pretending you're not faded. Number 1 is no rambling. Talking too much can be a slippery slope
which will ultimately compromise the mission. Yo, Chains, what time is it?
It's, 107.
107?
Wait. Bro, 107 isn't the time.
How did the first person make the clock even know what time it was?
What is this dude talking about?
Did they just randomly decide and, you know, just start running with it?
Hold up. Chains is baked as hell.
No.
And principle number two, don't talk too little. Although talking too much can sell the mission, so can talking too little.
Hi there, what can I get for you? Sir, what do you want?
Hello, welcome to McDonald's. What the fuck do you want, bitch?
Yeah, we got a customer who's on fucking Mars.
And last, but of course not least, is the golden rule for pretending you're not zooted. Just say you're tired, bro. It's undefeated. It works like a fucking charm. It hasn't failed you yet.
Failed him yet.
Chains, have you been smoking the devil's lettuce?
Nah, I'm just tired.
Oh, okay.
Hey, were you just smoking in the bathroom?
Nah, I'm just really tired.
Oh, okay, my fault.
So you're telling me you've been found driving with a joint in your mouth, 3 ounces of weed, and you failed the drug test?
Objection, Your Honor. My client here, he was tired.
Innocent. He's proven innocent. He's good.
So with all this being said, I think you're ready to go out. Well, where are you going anyways?
What? You're going to your grandma's 89th birthday?
Ah, shit. Good luck with that, man. Oh, grandson, it's so nice to see you.
When you link a girl and you both bring a friend, man, what could possibly be better than a two-man mission?
Three-man mission.
And when you go on a three-man mission, you need to be able to trust those homies with your life, bro. Cause I don't know why, but 100% of the time you go on a three-man mission, somebody's gotta take one for the team, bro. Like, it's just inevitable. And if your homie isn't willing to eat the shit sandwich in order to see the gang succeed, the entirety of the gang is eating the shit sandwich, bro. And on top of that, you need your homies to have your back when you crack a shitty ass joke. Cause if you're in a group of 6 people and not a soul laughs, nah, you're done, bro. Like, you're cooked. You're sauteed, bro. Like, pack it up, it's over with. Like, yo, guys, what do you get when you mix human DNA with goat DNA? Oh my god, what do you get? Wait, no, let me guess. No, I don't know. What do you get?
Kicked out the petting zoo.
Fuck, I sold.
Actually, that's a really good joke.
Facts.
Wait, it was?
And lucky for me, I got the two most perfect dudes for the job. Bob and Billy, so you know we were no strangers to the game. Like, we had 99 chemistry, bro. We were like Jordan, Pippen, and Rodman, setting up these plays, passing, alley-ooping, and dunking that shit. In these streets, they called us the real Big Three, and one day, the real Big Three hopped on a plane to Mexico. And this story takes place way, 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 way back. Like a month ago. And this story doesn't just contain one three-man. Not 2 three-mans, but 3 different three-man missions. And with these 3 different chances, will me, Bob, and Billy be able to find love in Mexico? Or will we get set up and kidnapped by the cartel? Find out coming up on this episode of Billy, Bob, and Chains.
Wait a minute.
So, boom! We get to Mexico and we're staying at an Airbnb. So we start with all the essentials. We unpack, get some food, check out the rooms, download Tinder, play some music, get settled in, you know, shit like that. And some of you may be thinking, damn, Chains, Tinder? Shit, I didn't know you were down bad like that.
And let me just clear this up, alright? I'm not, okay?
I'm down horrendous. And you really don't know me at all if you thought I was gonna leave Mexico without running a 3-man with the homies. So I'm just doing what I gotta do. Don't hate the player, hate the game. So we got there on a Monday, and for the first few days, we're exploring, we're trying some food, going to the beaches. It's great, you know, a bunch of nice and relaxing shit. But at night, it was grind time, bro. I was swiping more than a girl with daddy's money, and I was shooting more shots than Drizzy Drake at his local middle school. So by the time Thursday rolled around, I secured the first
3-man mission.
portion of the trip, and when I told the boys, they were hyped as fuck. I mean, Bob was so excited, dude almost made a facial expression. So before we went out, we had to get teed up, and lucky for us, we spent half our food budget on a few bottles of vodka. So we're absolutely down in that shit until our Uber pulls up. We hop in the Uber and get dropped off by some bars where we plan to meet the girls. Now keep in mind, at this point, all I've seen of this girl is pictures, and you know there's a brutal catfishing epidemic going on. So let's just say it's completely in the realm of possibility that I set up a link with three big buff Mexican dudes. And Lord knows I'm crossing my fingers. hopefully there's like no big buff Mexican. I don't want the big buff Mexican dude. So my heart dropped to my balls when I got a tap on my shoulder and turned around to see a not so buff Mexican dude with another not so buff Mexican dude with the three girls.
Hey, don't worry. These are just my friends, by the way.
Hey.
Oh, that makes sense.
Okay, yeah, what's up?
And not only was I relieved that she wasn't a jack dude, but she was fine, nice, and she spoke English.
Same with Bob's girl and Billy. Yeah, nah, he had to take one for the team for sure.
Hey, bro, I'm sorry, but this is just the way the cookie crumbled.
Shit, bro, can we get another cookie?
It's too late, bro, it's already crumbled.
And Billy took that shit like a champ, bro.
So all eight of us go to a bar and we're just talking, getting to know each other and shit. And I notice Billy just keeps the tequila shots coming.
I mean, we were only 10 minutes into the conversation, but this dude is 10 shots deep at this point.
And all of a sudden, this dude starts laying down that Google Translate riz, and he's dropping hard emojis and shit, and I'm like, damn, respect. I mean, he's taking this extremely well.
And after about 30 minutes of talking to this girl, I look over at Billy and I start to see some wild ass emojis being thrown around. Like,
oh shit, Bob. Yo, I think Billy forgot he's the one taking one for the team.
So me and Bob cut him off of the tequila, and then my girl is like,
hey, do you guys want to come over to our place?
Yeah, hell yeah!
Is he alright?
Yeah, he's fine.
So we hop in their whip and go to their crib. And at this point, it's getting kinda late. So we're just chilling, listening to music and things of that nature. When me and Bob realize Billy and his girl are nowhere to be seen. So I turn to Bob and I'm like,
yo, should we stop him?
Damn, bro, you're right. We can't let him do that shit.
And listen, bro, I've never been the type of dude to cock block, but if it's the homie who's about to interlock with the chalk chick at this o'clock, I'll walk up, knock and lock, and block that cock if I have to.
And so I did just that. I walked up, knocked, of course, unlocked the door, and respectfully, I blocked that cock.
Yo, what are you doing?
I'm taking one for the team, remember?
Nah, I think the team's doing just fine,
but
bro.
You know me. I was gotta do it for the team, like for
nah,
the...
Nah, I don't think the team needs this one, gang.
No, remember? I'm supposed to be, like, taking it for the team, like, this is for the...
Yeah, you right.
Let's just go home, Billy.
No, wait. Well, how are we gonna get home? We're in Mexico.
Man, shut the...
So we said our goodbyes, got in the Uber, and man... I felt like a basketball coach whose son just lost to a special needs team, bro.
Hey, listen, bro. I had a lot of tequila tonight. I'm sorry. I just...
Billy, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Damn, bro.
And the next morning we woke up, and I'm not gonna lie, we felt it a little bit, especially Billy. Billy was in physical and mental agony, but we have a secret method to get rid of any hangover instantly. It's called vodka. So we're practically eating this bottle for breakfast, and once everyone was healed up, we hit the beach and had a fantastic day. It was stupendous, really, and once the sun started to set, we got some food, and man... It was gas, bro. I had the best nachos of my life. And as I'm consuming this orgasmic meal, I get a little notification on my phone from a new girl.
Yo, you got any friends?
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, hell yup.
Then she's like,
I'm going out with some friends tonight. You guys should come.
And I'm like, hell yup.
And just like that, we secured our second
three-man mission.
We absolutely house that fucking meal, go back to the crib, get ready, tee up, you know the drill. We hop in the Uber and get dropped off in the same area where the clubs and bars are to meet these girls. And when we get there, Bob and Billy are both praying they don't gotta take one for the team this time. And I'm there just chilling like, yo, this is why I set up the three mans, cause then I never have to take one for the
Chains, is that you?
Oh, shit,
Who's asking?
It's me, Sarah.
Oh, no way. Really?
like really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. You must be looking for the other chains. No, don't worry. This happens all the time.
Oh, no. Chains for real. Yeah, look at this. This is you.
Oh, fuck. Would you look at that? I guess it is me. Fuck.
Like, shit, I don't know how she did it, but she got my ass, bro. I got catfished nicely.
But I guess it was just my turn to take one for the team. And I look up at who she brought, and she pulled up with 4 straight dimes for the homies to choose from. Like, bro,
why me?
So we're walking, and the girl I'm temporarily associated with is like,
hey, let's go to the club.
Yeah, let's go. Yes. So we go to this club, 8 people deep, and the girls are like,
yeah, let's buy a bottle.
Yeah. Where's your money?
¿Qué? No entiendo.
Wait, I could have swore you spoke English.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm fluent for sure, yeah.
You said you wanted a bottle, right?
Yes, please.
Yeah, you got bottle money?
Ah, no entiendo, no hablo inglés.
And now I'm starting to get the vibe that whole time, these girls